Hello and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turnham, here with Matt Murray.
Hello there.
James Farley.
Hi.
And Sean Bell.
Hello.
We'd like to start the show by thanking our Patreon producers for this month. They've gone full bloody nelse. They are Aaron Patrick, the QuickBooks chap, Simon Nelson, Moomin Biscuit, Trans Rights of Human Rights, Dave Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gasman, Rocketman76, Smooth Monkey, Richard Sawyer, John Tempelli, Jackie Sniper, Sam Heaton, Thomas, Stan, Philip with an F, Fred Fenge, Stephen the Nuke Littler, Cutty, Happy Birthday TCGS, Love from Major PDD, Hashtag TCGSCon24, and Steve Lee. They're the Full Nelse crew, and you can join them by going to patreon.com/TCGS. This bonus show went up this week. There was for those of you that listened to the bonus show, we won our cup final, 3-0. Nice and easy. Lovely old job. All three goals coming in the first half. We probably could have got another couple in the second half. But, you know, I don't want to be too negative.
I was going to say 3-0. I should have said, let's go for 10. Let's really mug these kids off.
No, we did. We did. Oh. They just didn't put it in the back of the net, Matt. But lovely old job. Lovely old job. You can hear about a really dramatic moment I had while refereeing a Little League game. You can hear about James pooing a lot, and about Sean and his thumbnail.
My thumbnail.
Is it getting better, mate?
Nope.
Okay.
and me.
We also finally did the Choose Your Own Adventure book, Sonic versus Zonic. Now, I won't reveal whether we met Zonic or not, but the stream that started with Matt going, "What if it's only 20 minutes long? What are we going to do then?" That ended up being 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, just the explanation of the instructions took about half an hour.
Yeah, that took half an hour. I loved it. I think it was my favourite thing we've done in a while, and I want to do more of it. Sean, because of a puzzle which he couldn't solve.
None of us could.
He was bitter.
Yeah, I know. But you're supposed to be the expert. Also, Sean cheated a few times. And that really...
A few times.
Well, no. Okay, you cheated most of the time.
I confirmed that a page we might have to turn to that we were fairly certain was going to kill us.
Right. But you also tried to cheat more than that. You said at one point during that stream... I couldn't believe this.
I was trying to keep it going smoothly.
I will finish this sentence. You said at one point during that stream, I'll just leave my finger in place and we can go back if it's
classic.
No, Sean! I did not expect that from you, because when we were in an escape room, you were very, very clear that
because
we should be following the rules.
Escape rooms are good. That book was not.
It was good.
The difference.
Apart from there's one section which is
snobby. One entire section. That...
Snobby?
Yeah.
Don't be so snobby.
Don't be so snobby.
It's not snobby.
Don't
be so
snobby, Sean. That's what it'll call you now on the circuit.
Title for the show. I just got a text message and it wasn't the one I thought it was. Oh. Sorry, I've just been explaining before we hit record that we have literally just asked a tattoo artist whether they would be up for doing the Wookiee from Fallen Order. James is back. Don't worry, James not paying attention.
All Matt's
sorry, don't worry about it.
Also, very exciting show next week. Very exciting show. It's episode 400.
Oh, God.
Our 400th. So we sort of mentioned that we were going to do something special, and then we forgot, as always happens to us.
Not busy.
But it's a very exciting show. If you would like to send your messages in, then please go to tcgs.co/dearTCGS. Send your messages in. What's been your favourite moments in the 400 episodes we've released so far?
Yeah, why are we so bloody brilliant?
Why? Yeah, just tell us how great we are.
Yeah, and final mention, patreon.com/TCGS if you like to sign up, because it keeps the show going. We couldn't have gone 400 shows without Patreon. That's the truth, by the way. Mm-hmm. Joe would have told me to pack it in a while ago.
Probably like 350, I reckon.
Yeah. Should we get some feedback, Matt, from last week's show?
Yes. Halibut Custard has messaged... going to burp. Read the live shows. We did the very north. We said Sunderland is 20 miles south of Haydon Bridge, which is famous for being the centre of the UK. You didn't even make it north, let alone north. Sunderland is also a fucking shithole surrounded by lovely places. I live in Newcastle and came to Sheffield in the EGX events, but I would not travel 8 miles to visit that black hole of a... I would not travel 8 miles to visit that black hole of joy, culture and happiness. I love you guys, but even I have limits.
Was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit harsh.
Yeah. We found that really good. Like, we found that really good taco place, which has since closed down.
Oh, that was really nice.
Was good. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I that's too north. No, look, that is north. I don't care where technically the centre of the UK is. Mm-hmm. Come on. That's Birmingham, isn't it? Is what everyone reckons it is.
That's what they call it in Midlands, yeah. That's why they call it that. Yeah, the next one will be down south where we can find a fucking venue that'll take it.
We take the eye off the ball.
I need to get on this. I think we need to start having some harsh words with venues down south. The O2.
I've got a few in mind that we just want to do a live show, right? That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Show, and it doesn't even need a bar. Even if there's one next door, maybe we're asking for too much.
No, it needs a bar.
But maybe we're asking for too much, but whatever. Some venue that'll take, I don't know, 5,000 to 6,000 people. That's all we want. That's all we want.
We do it in that new co-op arena in Manchester. That's open now, isn't it?
Oh god, they really fucked that so bad, haven't they?
Yeah. The co-op one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically they had an opening night where they had to like cancel half the tickets an hour before it was due to start. And then, well, so the Peter Kay was meant to do a load of shows this week.
Keep getting like pushed back a week, and then they get cancelled, and then pushed back a week. I mean, it's gonna be like the biggest venue outside London, isn't it?
Mm, yes,
but they fucked it. And like the CEOs had to resign because he said, "Oh, other venues are dying because they're not doing this and the other." And they're like, "Actually, you're just being a bit of a twat, aren't you?" Anyway,
yeah,
where were we?
Really well. So yeah, we'll go there.
Yeah. When it opens. Ben from Oregon, absolutely shocking from David Turner's last episode. He shat all over Botany Manor, but likes horrible Harold Halibut. Boring. Love you all.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, I played both of those games and I really didn't like Botany Manor and I really, really liked Harold Halibut. I mean, there's, you know, I felt for Sean a little bit, right? Because I think Sean had a very strong reaction to that game, Harold Halibut, and I think he wanted me to go along with him because that's always more fun. But then when he saw how much I loved it, it sort of clipped his wings a little bit. It was like, I can't really go for it in the way that I've been planning all day now because I don't want to upset the child in the corner.
Well, no, it's just, broadly speaking, yeah, like if, unless I, because I don't like hate it or anything, I don't think it like, do you know what I mean? It didn't like actively upset me. So
that's not,
yeah,
not
if
I heard last week, Sean.
If you're really enjoying it, I'm not going to be like, no, you're wrong because of these reasons. I completely failed to connect with it and was really disappointed because I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought about playing it, but I know this still sounds terrible.
You need to play the wreck first. You need to play the wreck before this.
As well, though.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. And I don't think you will like this, James. Mm. I don't think you'll like Harold Halibut. That's why I'm saying play the rec before you play this.
It's definitely in my wish list, so I will get it when it's discounted or whatever. Oh, is it? Hang on, where's
it's
it?
Game Pass.
Game Pass.
Then I'll play it.
What is?
The wreck?
Oh,
you mean the wreck?
Yeah, the wreck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the wreck was on sale when I bought it for like £9.
Yeah,
but...
No. Yeah, it's like £9. What's the matter with you? You spend that on cheese. Just go one day without cheese.
Yeah, but cheese is great.
Okay,
you can access the wreck wherever you want. It's not locked in the fridge.
Tony the Tiger. Okay. Let's move on.
I was quite worried about this bit of feedback coming in when I was editing the show, when Alex has messaged with the feedback I was dreading. In James's defense for who is Mr. Ball question, Matt did fuck the email up by initially reading it out as Shane Bell, not Shane Ball. Not normally worth writing in about, but given you all gave James shit for once again being right, it's good to acknowledge it, especially since Dave said, if you listened at the start, keep on the good work and you'll always be the people's favourite, James.
See, I just assumed. I mean,
sorry, just for Alex's emails again. You'll always be the people's favourite, James.
Yeah.
It was an email from James. It was, forget it, what do you want? Yes, James?
I mean, there was no point. I mean, when that even happened, there was no point even trying to defend myself because what's the point? It's you just get shouted down anyway. So, you know.
If someone was writing a jokey email about me and then the rest, like, and throughout the email, they sort of changed the vowel in Bell, I'm pretty sure I would just go along with that. That to me just seemed like a, I don't know. I thought that was fine.
Just had a text message. The tattooist is up for it. He's bang up for it.
Yes, mate.
We have a tattoo artist to do.
Excellent. Oh, boy. It's starting to feel real.
Chen still doesn't know. Like, is it, she knows that it's happening, but she doesn't know about the design yet.
Doesn't she?
To Rachel, and she was like, you shouldn't show mummy.
Sounds like we need another wives episode. Another wives episode of the Patreon bonus show.
Okay.
Just to reveal that.
Okay.
No, like live, it'd be funny.
That's not a good idea. Why? Okay.
Isn't that what we did last time? How did you tell Chen you were getting it done last time, James?
No, we talked about it, didn't we, that it was going to happen, but she didn't know what the design was. She still doesn't know what the design is. You know, that
okay.
It's,
I thought right, you had told her the bet was happening live on the show.
No, it's a badly drawn wookie.
No. So we've genuinely got a tattoo artist to do this. This is actually happening. I felt like this is mad. Okay, right, where are we? Sorry, let's get back to the show. A little bit of focus. This is my bad. Sorry.
Mickleford von Discotech. Hello, lovely lads. Just a quick note of praise and thanks. I love the pod, but I sometimes forget how lucky we are from a games perspective to have the level of journalism the pod offers. Here we go. It was Sean's review of Dragon's Dogma 2 that really made me try something I never would have had normally. The level of balanced assessment of both the good and bad was just exceptional, and not only did it make me purchase and love Dragon's Dogma 2, go through it and purchase Dragon's Dogma 1 also. These are games I had no interest in, I never would have bought, and thanks to the dying physical magazine format, would likely never have heard of. You are pretty much my only barometer for what is good and interesting, and you are seldom wrong. I just wanted to say thanks for the journalism. I don't think of TCGS as journalistic due to the format, but you are, and given the hours you put in, you're my only independent reference for quality game and journalism and arse-wiping news. Thanks.
What? That is very
Cheers,
kind,
Mickleford.
Thank you. I certainly wouldn't call this journalism personally. But
I might put journalist on my Twitter bio now.
There is part of me that just kind of thinks, oh, mate, my reply to this should be, no, you should be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, it's true. Consider branching out.
It's like someone just buying a Switch. Okay, it's great. You're having a good time with it, but also probably get another one.
I mean, not that it happens often anymore, but you know when we're applying for passes for events, which is not a lot these days.
But back in the in 2018.
Well, that's it, but now these days, it's like I instinctively go for like the press bit, and it's like, no, I'm a creator now.
You're a content creator, Sean. Don't deny your roots.
Influencer. Yeah, it always throws me off that.
We should do an event just so James has to walk around with an influencer badge.
Oh my god, why wasn't the tattoo influencer? Like, why didn't the tattoo just say influencer? Oh, that
would James
wouldn't
have allowed it anyway, would he? So
I'd have been happy with that.
I don't think we've had this in feedback, but after last week's episode, as I was driving to work, I started laughing thinking about the tattoo bet stuff. And thought, oh, we spent 20 minutes with you two coming up with ideas, and in the end, you're both getting an idea that I came up with. And then, as I was thinking that, Sean sent me a message saying, it's just hit me that we were thinking about ideas for 20 minutes, and they're getting one that you've come up with.
Yeah, I absolutely pissed heck, actually, when I realised that.
I got a message from a friend of the show, Chris Spann, saying the same thing as well. It's great.
Because I come up with some nice ideas.
So did I.
Yeah, nice. That was it. It was disproportionate. No, you're absolutely right there. James smashed that brief. He come up with some really cool ideas that had good references to the show. You come up with a 12 by 12 grid.
That was clever. The heavy rain one could have been genuinely nice. What else did I pick? Other things. The Star Wars and Star Trek thing, that'd be funny and, you know, and clever.
That was disrespectful, Matt, is what that was.
Well, you're lost. I might get that myself next after this one, actually.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that.
Someone at work came up to me. I was in the kitchen. They said, you need to change your position, Matt. I was like, I'm sorry, what? He's like, yeah, you change. And I was like, what? He's like, of the tattoos. Like, oh, the tattoo. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm thinking, actually, like, it was on my ass, obviously. But now maybe part of me is thinking a little bit higher. So if I'm wearing, like, swimming shorts or something, or shorts in general, no top, you can see a little Wookiee head poking out.
That would be class.
A bit of a tree, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't see all of it unless you see the whole cheek. But if you want, you see a little head poking out.
Yeah.
And yeah, also, someone's like, seen the head of that Wookiee?
Yeah. I genuinely might get that. Because, yeah, just above my belt or, you know, swimming shorts, etc. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Best of both worlds.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. It'd be good.
Little Wookiee poking out.
Who's that little fella?
Who's that little guy? And I'm like, I can't share the whole thing unless I've had two drinks.
All the conversations about what happens after the bet's finished is all about how Matt is getting the tattoo. There's been no discussion about James getting it. So no. I'd love it if it come out and 9, 9, 9, 10, 10, 9, 9, 9. It gets like 98. It gets the highest
I would genuinely love nothing more if it turns out secret stunner of the year. You know, people didn't expect it.
If that's what's written, then that's what's written.
All right. You should get that as a tattoo. Okay. Yoda. Also, thinking about James, like, when you wear like a white shirt for work, you're going to see that Wookiee.
Never wear white shirts.
He doesn't wear white shirts.
Do you not wear, when you do a conference or a talk or something, you don't wear a white shirt?
But then usually I wear like a jacket or something as well.
What if it's hot, James? You'll see the Wookiee.
I hate that. See, that's why I really hate conferences in the summer, because it's just like.
But you
ridiculous.
Do go to them in summer, yeah?
Of course. Yeah.
So you'll see the Wookiee, is what I'm saying.
There's a possibility that could happen.
A Wookiee's going to be at every conference you go to.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, can we move on? Next bit of feedback, please.
Oh, shit. He's
this
right,
is from
know.
Someone called Sean Bag. That's Sean Bag. All right, Bags. This has been bugging me for a while. When Dave is reading out Full Nelson members, is it Moomin Biscuit and then a separate person, Trans Rights of Human Rights? Are they two separate names? Or is it Moomin Biscuit, Trans Rights of Human Rights? Writes one name. For someone who went to the Brit school, his dictation is atrocious. Do they not teach people to enunciate there? Anyway, great show. Good bag. Kiss, kiss from Sean Bag.
Wait, hold on. How are you supposed to do it? I go... Simon Nelson, Moomin Biscuit, Trans Rights of Human Rights.
I think pretty clear. I've seen people in the chat asking before, but obviously we see it written down, so maybe we're biased. I don't know.
No, that's
all one
is
word.
Fine, I think. It's when before you were saying, like, Alan Patrick, the QuickBooks chap. It's like, is that two people? But yeah, you've
reading it out next week then.
You've adapted.
You're reading out next week. After your performances of reading stuff out, Matt.
I'm the worst. That's why I don't do that bit. Otherwise, I'll probably be doing that bit and hosting, I think. Adder back. Shout out to Dave for his thoughts on Harold Halibut, along with Arcade Paradise. I can honestly say I would never have given him a second look. I completed Arcade Paradise, and I'm in total agreement in his summing up of Harold Halibut, although I'm shocked it didn't click with Sean.
Yeah, I thought that would have clicked with you, Sean. I think all of your criticisms were absolutely bang on. Mm-hmm. But like, I am very, very surprised that you didn't see the heart behind it. But there you go.
Yeah.
Dave, anyway, any of you lot.
Later.
Are you not tempted with Arcade Paradise VR that came out last week?
Nah. Well, I haven't really got a VR headset anymore.
Yeah, they don't anything with the Quest 1 now, do they?
Quest 1 is kind of dead and...
Tempted, but then I played the original to death, so I don't know if I'd get that much more out of it.
Maybe not.
I know.
Also, what I find really strange is that we're like one of the biggest gaming podcasts in the country.
Fact.
And and we've got a direct link with a huge VR company.
Fact.
It's just weird that we've not been hooked up, to be honest with you, Sean. It's strange.
Yeah, it is actually. It is off. Yeah, probably just flick a switch.
Probably
make it rain headsets.
Sack the person responsible for that, I think.
Oh, come on. There's loads of... You know there are some... laying about in a room.
No one
has
known.
Got to be.
I don't know. Yeah. If you check out the news I've got later, maybe it's not quite that way.
Okay.
Yeah. But just on the VR bit, quickly. Yeah, so a new Walkabout mini golf course came out a few days ago as well.
Venice, isn't it?
Venice, yeah.
Yeah, really, I really want to try that.
And there's a new contractor's showdown, so it's like a battle royale, 60 players. It looks awesome, and it's on Quest, and it's been getting incredibly good reviews on the store, so kind of
semi-tempted
about
it
that.
In.
Just tempted about it. Okay. Push button Joe. Oh, sorry, hang on. Josh Putton Bow. Why are you doing this to me? Josh Putton Bow. Dear Cheery Midnight Resistance Fancast, I think we need to clear the air on Sean only liking shit games. The only person responsible for Sean liking shit games is Sean. I provided a perfectly acceptable list of games he could like, and he went and played a game about breeding rare plants in a stately manner. For fuck's sake, he doesn't really help himself. Much love from Joe.
It's true. The stars really aligned on that one, didn't they? After like yeah. 1 week, we got those emails. Here's what he's allowed to like. And I was like, yeah, I'm playing Botany Manor, sorry.
You can't stop this train.
Imagine, no. though, if you were playing and really into Harold Halibut. Like, I mean, that is, if I hadn't heard it and played it myself, I would have gone, oh, fuck off, sure. The moment you said the title of it.
Gary Smackhead has a message.
Oh, Dutton's a message.
Yeah, he's on tough times. A patron tier where David is forced to pronounce every T in tattoo. You could all retire after a month.
Oh, yeah. Who says tattoo, though? Tattoo. No one says that.
Well, what do you say?
Tattoo.
Tattoo. Yeah, tattoo, isn't it? Yeah. Again, if...
Hey, listen, mate, if my class stuff. Isn't good enough for you, Gary... Then
yeah, if you're from yeah, a southern persuasion,
it's a bit much like Gary Smackhead is pulling rank. On
yeah, you don't live up to his standards.
Please pronounce it correctly.
Yeah. Lewis B. I must have missed the old June and the Bet. But what in the world does someone put their faith behind?
What world?
Fucking hell, I'll start again. Lewis B. I must have missed
your
June.
You having a go at me about the reading of the...
This is why, you know, else. Just we'll move on.
Gary Smackhead's going to go for Matt next week.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it.
Please go easy on me, Gary Smackhead. Lewis B. I must have missed the origin of the bet, but in what world does someone put their faith behind Ubisoft to release a banger these days? Was it down to the announcement trailer or something? That's exactly what it's down to, Lewis B. It was a good trailer.
And it was
last week you said concept art.
I'll tell you exactly what happened, right? Matt, right, okay, here's my analysis of the situation, okay? Whenever anything comes out, Matt's like, no, it looks really good. It's going to be great. Right. That's his default. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I'm trying to find the good in things. Yeah. Why not?
James hates Ubisoft and they're doing Star Wars. So James gave it the whole, it's going to be shit.
It was that. It's going to be shit. It's because the developer is the one that made The Division as well, which I don't think is very good.
Saying that, James, but they also made the Avatar game, but this is
which was also not very good.
Thought that surprisingly good, actually.
Didn't it get like 70s? Didn't we check on?
Yeah, well, yeah, but that,
on
that's
Metacritic.
So what happened was James was being all, it's gonna be crap, and that got Matt's back up, and he started giving it back, and there was a little bit of going on. Like, well, I'll bet you it is then. I'll bet you it's the most stupid bet ever, and how it got to tattoos is absolutely beyond me. It's a stupid idea. I don't know why they're doing it, but here we are. Here we are.
Yeah. No, good trailer. Excited for that.
Okay.
Barry from Cornwall. Dear TCGS, and in particular Matt, can you stop being so shit at arguing your point? On a weekly basis now, Dave says to you that the characters in Final Fantasy VII are rubbish, and every week you fail to put him straight on this. The characters in Final Fantasy VII are famously brilliant. That's the reason it's been one of the most beloved games over the last 20 plus years. A whole generation of gamers fell in love with Cloud and co. It's the reason this otherwise cynical 50-year-old gamer feels all gooey inside as soon as that music starts up. So come on, Matt. This really should be an easy win, even for me.
That's a bit harsh.
Wow, then, Barry.
A little bit harsh.
I never thought I'd say this, but I want to hear more from Gary Smackhead.
Bring him back.
Yeah. I mean, they're good, aren't they?
All right. No.
They are good. The game's good. I'm shit.
Have you played any more of Rebirth?
No, I haven't done. No, I've been busy. It's not because I don't want to. Last week was a fucking disaster. I haven't played anything this week, but I do. I will finish it, and I do intend to go back to it because I was enjoying it.
All right, mate. Yeah, we believe you.
Okay. Did you hear the news about how it's like hasn't? They think it hasn't done very well.
Yeah, but it's Square Enix,
really?
So of course they would.
Yeah.
They probably expected to sell like 500 billion copies.
Yeah. I can't believe it's not done
compared with Remake, it didn't do as well, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the reviews were more consistently positive, weren't they, than it was. What got the biggest Metacritic rating, Rebirth or Remake? Have a look, James.
Have a look.
Yeah, have a look.
Read
have
another thing
while we do the last bit
out.
Of feedback.
Yes. Luke Spockwalker. Did Dave really complain about an hour-long episode of a TV show on a two-hour-long episode of this podcast?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's,
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah, he's got
it's
you
not.
There.
No, no,
it's
it?
Fair enough.
Because yeah, the whole
it's
point
because
is...
we're used to long podcasts. But,
yeah, but you can have a podcast on while you do other things. You're not sitting down with the wife to listen. I mean, some people might. No, that's brilliant if you do.
The wife.
But you're not sitting down with your wife.
I'm bloody
to listen to podcasts, right? That's not.
You're not sitting down with her indoors.
Yeah,
fuck it up, mate. Ball and chain.
Bloody hell. What in the fucking snooker?
I'm trying to fucking dance off of this, mate.
The point still stands.
I think Luke Spock Walker has made a very funny observation there. What about that?
I think it's flawed.
What
about that?
Yeah, Luke, try and come back from that. You won't, because you're dead.
Go on, what scored higher, James?
Okay, so, well, Rebirth scored higher. It got 92.
Yeah, I thought it did. I thought it did. The reviews were really positive when Rebirth came out. But yeah, I suppose the chatter did die down pretty quickly. I don't know.
Well, it is on this show because Matt hasn't played it.
Yeah. I have played it. I haven't finished it.
To outsource an opinion on it. And he's not touched
it. I forgot
about that. It's a good game. The characters.
Thank you, Sarah. You're always welcome. Okay. Is that it for feedback?
Yes. Go to tcgs.co to leave your feedback.
Okay. Or let's get to the news.
Okay. So Activision Blizzard has had a big impact on Microsoft earnings, but unfortunately, the console sales are still going down.
No way.
So. Microsoft's gaming revenue increased by $1.8 billion, or 51% year-on-year, and the Xbox content and services revenue increased by 62%, but Microsoft said that this is because of the net impact from the acquisition of Activision Blizzard.
So how does that work?
If they didn't have Activision Blizzard, then there wouldn't have been that increase. It would have been
so down. That only went through kind of pretty late in the year.
This is for the 3 months. This is like for the 3 months of this year, I believe, up until March.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's making a fuckload of money in just one quarter.
Yeah.
And that's why they're worth that amount. Like, it's insane.
I mean, you can see why they were so desperate to close
that deal. Yeah, I was
going to
say, now it makes sense. Yeah, wow.
But then they said hardware revenue has decreased by 31% year on year.
Wow.
Because of poor sales of consoles. And they said Starfield didn't have any impact at all on increasing it.
Pull people off.
And because also there was a 30% drop this time
last year as
well.
I'm going to get shit again, Sean. Just bite your tongue.
No, they've all given up now. We've
slagged
off Starfield a few times recently and no one's even bothered. They're all morally
defeated now. You've done it. The inbox is going to be on fire now next week.
Yeah, so it's 31% down this year, and then last year was also 30% down, and they also didn't mention increases or decreases in Game Pass subs this year, because normally they talk about that. But they didn't, so it's probably stayed static, I'd imagine. So,
we said this last year, it's no surprise. Yeah, just it's sad, isn't it? Like, if this keeps happening, I mean... What's going to be left of Xbox? It's like a broken record, I know, but my God.
If this keeps happening, there's even more incentive to just keep releasing stuff on other consoles as well, because at least then you're making cash. Like, and that seems to be what they're most interested in.
Or they start to look at as PCs are their format from now on, that they move the Xbox brand over
to
PC and stop releasing hardware.
Yeah, that's more suicide mission, I think.
There's been all those... Bizarre rumors, but those things about how Steam's coming to Xbox as well, or other stores are coming to Xbox. But I don't see how that fixes their problem. Honestly,
where these reports come from, I swear it could just be that someone either heard that someone from Microsoft has contacted Steam, or someone was seen around a building or whatever, and it's always like filling in holes. Mm. And leaking information out. I mean, like, we've genuinely seen this stuff firsthand, where someone's heard a rumor from somewhere, someone else has heard a rumor from somewhere else, and they've combined it to create,
happen to each other and gone, have you heard what I've heard? And they've gone, what about Microsoft and Steam? Yeah. And then off it goes.
And then it gets wrong. So, I never really look at that stuff as an indication of anything. But what it could indicate is not necessarily what's being reported, but that Microsoft are fucking doing something. Like, there's something's gonna change. So, I cannot wrap my head around where they're going in terms of their business strategy. Like, what what are they pushing towards?
I don't think they know.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it feels like there was a period of, you know, a few weeks where it was like, there was just different things. Oh, now Phil Spencer said they might do this, actually, and he thinks this is a good idea, and now they're going to do that, and probably most of it will come to nothing, but it was, yeah, it just felt like a very odd, like, he's just sort of saying things and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach,
isn't it? I said before, I don't want people like Phil Spencer to feel like they can't say these things, but it did feel a bit strange, yeah.
See, I reckon it's because they bet everything on Game Pass, really, and it hasn't panned out as they were expecting it was going to, or hoping it was going to.
I mean, it's all about the content.
Yeah, and now they don't know what to do, I think.
I mean, I think in a perfect world, or, you know, 5-10 years, if we ever get to that point, you know, with voice studios, the hope is that it'll be, you know, pushing out big games, successful games, lots more games, then you can see, oh, there's like Netflix, say, oh, this is this month's thing everyone's talking about, subscribe. But that's obviously what Game Pass wants. They want these big hitters every, I don't know, month, 2 months, quarter, to get people back, to resub, to keep their sub going. There's probably a reason we haven't heard about Game Pass increases, because, I don't know, I mean, it has had lots of smaller things that we've enjoyed, but no, like, oh my God, you've got to get back on Game Pass because of this big hit, that first party title. I mean, obviously, we've got Hellblade 2 coming this year, we've got Indiana Jones, there's some other things, but yeah, without the content, the service will suffer, even though, you know, I do appreciate there are probably lots of smaller things that maybe we're not all, like, jumping for joy about, but there was content on there.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, because, like, I still really like Game Pass, still use it a lot, but yeah, there was a time when, if something came out and you told someone it was on Game Pass and they said they weren't on Game Pass, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas now, you'd be like, oh, fair enough. Like, maybe resub for this, but don't... Yeah.
I also think it's slightly confusing that they've rolled in the other side of their service to Game Pass now. You know, Game Pass Core is essentially just the online stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, I think that sort of muddies the water a little bit, because it feels like you have to get Game Pass. Well, you do have to get Game Pass if you want to play games online, but it's Game Pass where you don't get any of the Game Pass games. It is.
Well, you
I don't know.
You get like a little collection, don't you? But it's not like
do
20
you get
games or something.
A small collection?
Yeah. Oh, it's a bit like the PlayStation collection, you know, like when PS5 and stuff.
You know what they should do with that? They should do what Spotify does, where can you only like shuffle tracks on free Spotify? I'm like a premium member, but I'm fairly sure that's the case.
Well,
right?
Where you boot up a game and you don't know what you're going to play.
Yeah, you play a game, and then when that game ends, you just get put into another game. You can't change
I thought you were going to say you could play a game, but you have to play the levels in random order.
Yeah, I mean, all that. But when we get to that, no, I don't want that. Shuffle. No, you can't choose that. Maybe we should do that. I should be the new Phil, in a way. But yeah, I've always said this, like, we need a successful Microsoft to push Sony to, you know, to keep the, you know, not that the industry absolutely needs that, because I think Sony will keep doing what it's doing and so will Nintendo, but if we all want a better industry and more competitiveness, then we need some Microsoft
to be
doing
well.
There
is nothing worse than Sony being that far on top.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
it's the worst.
They have done some awful... I've seen some of their... some of the things they've done when they were that far ahead, I've looked at and gone, this is so anti-consumer that it actually makes me angry. I remember the whole returns policy debacle and stuff like that. They need a competitor to keep them in check.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I don't know if Xbox are going to be that competitor anymore.
Would you agree they've never been this far ahead? It feels like, even in terms of, I mean, maybe console sales, yes or no. I know obviously 360 and PS3 is pretty close, and Xbox One was bad, and you know, PS4 was really good. But like in terms of mindshare as well, it just feels like they're so far away from each other.
PS1 I think PS2 and Xbox, the original Xbox, PS2 was so far ahead.
PS2 and the original Xbox, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. But as Microsoft have said themselves, the last generation was the most important one, because that was the generation that the mainstream were building their digital libraries.
Yeah, digital libraries, yeah.
If Microsoft did pull out, I'm not saying they would, do you think anyone would bother trying to compete with Sony? Do you think anyone new would emerge and be like, yeah, fuck it, we'll make a console then, if there's room?
Well, the only people that could would be like the big kind of tech giants, because you know, it'd be like Google, Apple. We know what they've
basically Amazon. Companies that have already shown they don't know how to run a gaming platform.
Yeah, it'd be like Amazon, Apple, Google, Microsoft, who know, and or Disney, but like those kinds of companies. And if they're not, or they've tried or don't want to, then I can't see. I mean, even a company like Microsoft, with all the money it's got, is losing. And you know, we'll come talk a Meta story later, but like all the money these huge companies have got, they're still losing. loads of money.
I still don't think that Microsoft will ever stop making Xboxes. I don't think that's going to happen, but I can really see them going, like, releasing all their stuff on other platforms as well. Because one of the things that Microsoft have always been consistently very good at, not just with like Xbox stuff, but with Windows and everything, has been supporting legacy stuff. Like, they often support things for a very, very long time. And I can see them doing that with Xbox as well. Like, maybe it doesn't become such a focus, but I don't think they'll ever bin it off. It'll just become...
Here's a question, James. So, Microsoft decide to release everything on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still buy a PlayStation and an Xbox?
I probably wouldn't know, but other people may, because they may be really into Game Pass and stuff.
I can't see a reason to. I wouldn't buy a £400 to £500 console just for Game Pass. I can't imagine me ever doing that.
It depends, though, doesn't it? Because if you don't have any console at all, like, you've got nothing, and then you're just thinking, okay, what do I want to play here? And if all the stuff is on Game Pass, like Activision Blizzard stuff and all that kind of thing, maybe it's that there'd be a reason to do that. But then you're also missing out on a lot of stuff.
That's the situation now. Yeah. People are deciding whether they want a console based around this Game Pass service or a console where you're just buying the games outright, which is what seems to be the majority that people are doing on the PlayStation, and they're choosing the PlayStation.
And also, one thing, like, we've been lamenting Microsoft and all this for years, it seems like, and some people are probably pissed off that that was kicking them. But, like, you know, according to Microsoft's financials at the end of January, like, gaming is now Microsoft's third biggest business behind, like, servers and Office, but it's bigger than Windows. Yeah, it contributed $7.1 billion, which is more than $5.26 billion that Windows generates. So, you know, but again, maybe obviously internally they would never really change. It's just that we're seeing the sales and like what's on Game Pass or consoles are doing this and that. But actually, look, it's obviously a huge part of Microsoft and probably getting bigger, especially with the acquisition, etc.
Exactly, that gaming revenue. How much of that is mobile games? How much of that is Activision Blizzard? You know, that kind of thing. It's like, it'd be interesting to know what percentage of that is like Xbox hardware, for example, that's like bringing that in.
Oh, well, yeah, we mean hardware, yeah, like, much. Yeah, yeah, hardly,
but
hardly
yeah,
anything.
That's,
but gaming
that's
is
not
a...
what Matt's saying, though. Like, we're looking at this as some sort of failure and end of you know, Xbox as it is, when really, if it is contributing that much to the business, then maybe they don't see it that way.
Well, exactly. They're not going to see it as being a failure, but they may see it as being a better strategy to sell things multi-platform, because then you can release all that stuff on everything.
I mean that does make sense. Like, you know, there are so many PS5s out there. Why wouldn't you, if you had a great game, sell it on every platform? I mean, it's the people who are like really precious about, oh no, Xbox this and PlayStation that. But actually, financially, surely that makes total sense. Like, when we were going through all the acquisition stuff, like, yes, obviously release Call of Duty on PS5. Like, you're missing out on billions by not doing that. So financially,
I wonder, right? And this is just stupid thinking, I'm sure.
I'm just spitballing.
I'm just spitballing here. But I do wonder how much the console wars contributes to merchandise sales. Do you know what I mean?
Well, because of the weird sort of tribalism around it and the loyalty.
Yeah, you're an Xbox or a PlayStation guy, and then you go to the shops and there's Xbox lamps and T-shirts and mugs and all that and PlayStation shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not small fry. You know, they must make decent money out of all of that
as
shit.
As they're doing well, yeah.
but if the only gaming console was a PlayStation, would you feel the need to wear it on a T-shirt?
If they weren't hyping everyone up to try and pick a team, then, you know, what happens to that sort of... I'm sure it's insignificant, but interesting nonetheless. That's probably enough chat about it, though. Should we move on?
Yeah, so next story is about Meta losing quite a lot of money on VR/AR. So since June 2022, they've been losing money at a rate of more than $1 billion per month on Reality Labs. But Meta have affirmed its commitment to Reality Labs, saying, "We continue to expect operating losses to increase meaningfully year on year due to ongoing product development efforts and our investments to further scale our ecosystem." But they've also said that they're going to be stepping up their investment into AI, where this is increasing like massively compared with what they're putting into AR VR now. So yeah, there you go.
Mm.
It's just so fascinating, isn't it? Like, obviously, someone...
Everyone's waiting for Matt to talk.
I've got no thoughts.
It's fascinating, Matt. Like, obviously, it's at least one person's job to look at these numbers and be like, no, this is going to pay off. And I just...
Yeah.
Oh, it's wild. I mean, you know, as an owner of a Quest 3, I'm very happy with it. But it is just, yeah, just absolutely mind-boggling just seeing these numbers. But then, you know, I'm hardly surprised because there's no, you know, I've said before, there's no reason to pay full price for anything on the Quest because of the weird discount codes.
Yeah,
the
referral scheme and stuff, like, yeah.
I can't believe they're keeping like that going. Don't know how they allow it.
Matt, why don't you just, you know, just man up a bit and come out with an opinion about this?
Well,
come
that's actually quite a toxic saying, actually, David. Yeah. Do you want to apologise now? Or?
Grow some balls.
Okay, next news story.
Okay, no, I want Matt. What are your thoughts on this?
No. I think they're always going to lose a
How
load of money.
How much do you get
paid? per hour. Save for a bonus show. No. Okay. You know, I mean, they obviously have put all this money in because they feel there's a huge opportunity to own the space. And I guess with all the money they get from ads and all the other kind of mucks. Facebook Meta services, like they're the only ones who really can afford or willing to do this because they feel like they can see 5, 10, 15 years in the future.
They've spent all this money owning the space, but then they're the only one in the space. Is that what
it's like? Sony clearly can't be asked. You know, like,
yeah, they're done, aren't they?
Because that's the bigger question. I don't know if this is covered in the article or not, but like, yeah, like is it just that Meta is just that big that it can absorb this?
Yeah,
basically.
Because they said, like, the other things like WhatsApp, Instagram, you know, the Facebook app to a degree, like, bringing in, like, huge amounts of cash, and they're, it's a
wild
making this fine.
I mean, obviously, Apple makes a shed out of cash, and, you know, they obviously recently developed the Apple Vision Pro, but it feels like Meta with, you know, that they can, well, I guess Meta and Apple are, like, the ones that can properly get away with doing this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they obviously see it as being a future, and they've made huge strides to open new products. You know, they've got all sorts coming down the line, one would assume. So, I mean, thank God they're doing it, is what I guess I would say. Because AR and VR would be in a very different spot if it wasn't for Meta throwing all this money
into
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I say keep going.
Please. How much that money are you getting? That they're throwing into it, Matt?
About half.
I cannot believe we haven't had a PSVR 2 flash sale yet. I can't believe that's not been a thing. I want it to be like, do you remember when DJ Hero went? With DJ Hero, you could get DJ Hero for like 15 quid in pretty much every shop. And you were like, what? This is great. Yeah, we just need it out of the warehouse. Yeah. We just need it out of the warehouse at this point.
Yeah, PSVR 2, that's, I think.
What would be the price, Matt?
For what?
The PSVR 2 that it dropped down to for you to go, yeah, I'm getting that.
I don't know.
There is no price. Even there if it no was price. Free, he wouldn't have one. Doesn't need
do you know
the clutter.
I just feel like if you could get a VR headset, I mean, Quest is the better option in terms of support.
James.
Oh, James has lost. James has lost.
It's a shame because PSVR 2 is a great headset. It's the comfiest one, best specs, I think, apart from Vision Pro. Yeah, I love the controllers. Corner Mountain was great, but would love more support.
Wasn't there, news, but isn't there a story about Apple cutting back on manufacture of the Vision Pro as well?
Yeah, heavily cutting back.
That makes sense.
But yeah, who's surprised that that's quite a niche device? Like,
yeah, that was always going to be a luxury thing, wasn't it?
But, yeah, there was some confusion about that because,
luxury.
Yeah, analysts estimated, they're going to sell like 400,000 Vision Pros. And then there's a story this week saying Apple only sold 400,000 Vision Pros. Like, wow, and if that was like, you know, aligned with analysts, like, where are we in? Mm-hmm. You know, Apple aren't stupid. They would have known a $3,500 headset was not going to go mainstream. Yeah. This is, again, a future play for the Vision, the non-pro version, the lower price. They're getting all their learnings now and again, developers excited, interested in what they can do with AR and VR, you know, spatial computing, sorry. This was never going to be a mainstream play. So this would not surprise them. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw something today about, Vision Pro 2 won't be out until 2027. Mm-hmm. Again, this is not going to be an annual thing. They will take the learnings and then move forward. I mean, it's good they're doing something, but
I did really
it's a wild system.
I did really like those think pieces that said things like, what Apple can do to make it so that people want to buy this? And it's like, well, don't sell it for $3,500. It's probably
lock it down to a sixth of the price.
Yeah. Be a start. I would say, I mean, I know you're saying that Sony are not really supporting it in the right way, the PSVR 2, but it does have Walkabout Mini Golf, and it also has PokerStars. Yeah. So
what else do you need? Yeah.
That's all I need. So if they're going to sell it for £200, the flash sale.
If they sold it for like, say,
so
like £179 or something like that, or £200, would you get one, David?
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would definitely get one.
But why? Like, if there's not much support,
so I could play PokerStars and the golf
mini
one.
Golf. Yeah.
Mini golf.
So I could play those two games. Worth that. It's worth that.
Worth that overspending a bit more to get a Quest 3.
Yeah, because I'm going to be playing the same games and they're not going to look as good. See, it doesn't
walk
about
the middle. Looks just fucking careful. Same. Doesn't matter what you play.
Oh, here we go. I've tweaked him. I've had a nibble.
James,
I've had a nibble.
Have a tour, please.
Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want a, you know, if you want a wired headset in 2024, then go for it.
I mean, I'm going to be sitting down playing poker 90% of the time, so it's fine.
We should do it again, by the way.
Yeah, we should.
I can't. My headset is like James Farley's Xbox One. Do you remember when he had that?
Oh, God,
he was
yeah.
moaning.
It was terrible, that Xbox One. Or the original Quest headset, which is also garbage. Anyway,
how much did you pay for yours, James?
Garbage.
It's not slag off the thing.
And
that,
you got it for free.
Yeah, still rubbish. Anyway, next story is that Fallout 4's next-gen update came out, but it has a lot of problems. So the Steam version apparently has the most technical problems, and the PlayStation had this weird issue whereby the upgrade path was not very clear, because if you got it from like PlayStation Plus, which a lot of people did, it wouldn't upgrade. Apparently that's been fixed now. But then also the Xbox version didn't have a quality mode, so you couldn't play it in 4K, which is a bit odd. And also they said like loads of like existing bugs haven't been fixed. And I mean, one of the best comments, this was from IGN, like noted this, somebody, this guy called Unwilling Arsonist, had said, you know, you got to love that Bethesda polish, you know, that have been put on this thing. Because there was like this post showing like these makeshift weapons, which had like missing textures and stuff appearing as like floating red exclamation marks and stuff like that. And yeah, it apparently wasn't very good.
It's so strange. Like, it's just such an unforced error, right? Because they missed the release date of the TV show, assuming that was the plan, right? They already missed that.
Yeah, you've got to imagine, yeah.
Yeah, so they missed that by a bit. All the games are enjoying more attention anyway, so actually they didn't need to put this out in, you know, to sort of correlate with the show either. Clearly it wasn't ready. There was also this, the Fallout London stuff. I don't know if any of you have followed this.
Yeah.
So Fallout London is this huge, really ambitious mod for the PC version. There's loads of, like, you know, proper industry talent have like pitched in on it. And it looks amazing. And basically, yeah, so as soon as it was announced that this update was coming out, the Fallout London team were like, well, we may as well just fucking down tools now, because we don't know if any of this is going to work when the new update hits, because it affects how mods work and stuff. So they're pissed off as well. It's just, yeah, they could have just not released the patch.
Because that's the thing. Like, quick, we need a negative headline about Fallout. Yeah. Ever's loving the TV show, they're loving the games. Yeah. Quick, just do something.
Release
yeah,
the canvas bags. Get the canvas bags.
Yeah, announce a new bag.
I do. Fallout is riddled with problems, isn't it? Yeah, through the history. I nearly downloaded it again, though. I'll probably go and have a little wander around Fallout 4 again. Mm-hmm. Go to the railway bit. I hated those people.
A lot of people have been playing Fallout 76. They had like over 1 million people at one day, you know, like playing that game, which is interesting.
I mean, well, it probably is good. Again, we've disappointed with those games where silently it is actually doing really well. It's just it's not in the news anymore, but it's probably got a massive
video
player base anyway.
I completely forgot that when it launched, I don't know if this was like a proper decision they made or if it was like a technical thing that ended up being a proper decision, but I forgot there were no NPCs in that game when it first launched.
Yeah, it was all just like reading text and stuff,
wasn't
it? Like,
and it was supposed to be like things. Oh yeah, but it's because it's all real people and that's amazing. Like, no, it wasn't amazing. They've added NPCs now, and it feels way better as a result, apparently. But
super
bizarre.
I just remember that Fallout 4 introduced that whole base building stuff. And it did it right at the start, didn't really explain it too well, and then forced you to do it as part of the main quest, like right towards the end of the game. Do you remember that? We had to put the cables up and wire up like a generator thing, and I was just like, oh, fuck this. Oh, strange game that was. TV show's good, though.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
It's still only a few episodes in, but we've finished Shogun now.
Same. So,
yeah.
All right. Okay.
Next story is that Switch 2 reportedly has magnetic Joy-Cons and probably
magnetic.
Won't, yeah, and probably won't support existing ones that, you know, from the original Switch.
Yeah, I think I've balls that up. My prediction was that they were going to go ahead and use the same ones, but when the reports about the screen being significantly bigger started mm-hmm. coming through, I was like, ah, okay, I might have misjudged this one.
Nothing about
well, this report says slightly bigger, mm-hmm. so.
Ooh.
Nothing about there being magnets, a though. Second detachable screen. No.
They've not mentioned that
no.
in this report.
No, well,
sure.
They missed that out, didn't they? That's embarrassing,
too
embarrassing
hot,
for them. Does anyone think that magnetics is a really bad idea? Not just yep. pull off really easily.
That's what I'd be worried yeah. about, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah also, also, I've never really understood this current obsession with magnets in technology. I mean, the fucking MagSafe stuff on the iPhone's crap.
Is it?
Why? In what because way?
Crap. Well, when you put a case on it, even the official Apple ones, it just doesn't work. It's not strong enough. We've got like a magnetic
about?
Holder thing in the car.
Yeah.
And if I take it off, it's not too bad. You just whack the phone
yeah,
on it. It's not too
I've,
bad.
Yeah, I've
put the case
never
on.
Had a problem with that. I do that.
I've replaced my phone
it's
now.
One of these. Oh, okay. I'm lying yeah, then.
Well, you yeah. maybe got a shit MagSafe. Like, that's
yeah,
just
yeah,
like, you
wait,
know.
Where did you get your MagSafe case from?
What this is official Apple.
Is it official one? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the official one.
Got the logo
that's
on
the
it,
leather official one.
Okay.
I'm
oh,
getting. Maybe. I did buy fake silicone yeah. ones, but I got so pissed off with get taking them in and out of my pocket that I went back to
pocket.
This battered leather one. yeah,
I think
man.
It sounds like a skill issue. MagSafe's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Phil Wall in the chat has just pointed out that he's heard that magnets mess with Hall Effect sticks as well, which sounds right because they
rely
on magnets.
That's right. This new stick yeah. technology. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking magnets.
Using that,
how do they work?
How do they work?
Whatever's cheapest.
How do they work?
Yeah. So I don't know what to make of that. It seems weird. It seems like they might just fucking pull off while you're trying to use the fucking thing. I don't know.
Well, I'm assuming that they're magnetic in terms of, yeah, they're not going to be like, it's not loose magnet. It's not like you're, they're not just going to attach like that, are they? I'm assuming that you slide them in and it magnetically shoots down or something.
I guess that still
there's
seems.
No way it's just magnetically attached to it.
I still, but okay. I'd rather it just clicked in like the old ones then, still.
Yeah, the only problem with the old ones is sometimes that little clip can break.
Yeah,
you ever true. Had one of those?
No.
Yeah, that's a little bit annoying.
But apparently, but again, also the Switch Pro controller will work with the Switch 2 as well, like the current Pro controller.
Oh, that's a good shout. That controller
what's
is
this
a
based on?
Controller.
Sorry, what's the source for this?
So the source is a long-running Spanish video games website called Vandal, who have also predicted other stuff or you know said other stuff that has actually happened. So it's maybe will happen,
like
but we don't know. And I'm like, well, that means I've got to go back and look up everything.
Okay.
Let's have a look. Yeah, it's here. It's worth noting that prior to Switch OLED's reveal, Vandal accurately reported on some of the console's features, such as the inclusion of a new stand and an Ethernet port. So there you go.
Well, fucking hell, there wasn't many features to report on. Hardly. New screen. That's about it.
Yeah, so okay. It says in handheld mode, the new Joy-Con rails will adopt a horizontal magnetic docking structure. So not the one we've got currently where it's like slides in vertically, it's horizontally.
Do you know, I kind of wish I hadn't included this story because it's really boring, isn't it? Can I move on to the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. So GTA 5 Trevor actor claims he shot some stuff for DLC for his character, but then it was cancelled. So there was information was data mined from the game in 2023 suggesting that there was going to be a DLC pack for it called Agent Trevor. And this was one of three bits of DLC that were going to come to GTA 5, such as there was like a zombie apocalypse thing, an alien invasion, and then this Agent Trevor thing. And Stephen Ogg, who's the actor, confirmed that they did actually record lines and all that sort of stuff for this. He said Trevor was going to be undercover. He was working with the feds. We did shoot some of the stuff with James Bond Trevor, where he's still kind of a fuck up, but he's doing his best. Then it just disappeared and they never did it and never followed up on it. But apparently a lot of these ideas went into GTA Online instead. And they didn't
Oh, really?
It. Yeah.
It's the weakest of the three characters, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never got on with him.
I was thinking today, like, you had, there was a little bit of substance to Franklin and, was it Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something there. Whereas, like, Trevor was just, yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to be comic relief, and I don't think it was probably okay at the time. I don't think it aged particularly well. Mm-hmm. And looking back on it, he's the one character where you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I kind of forgot he's sort of like, yeah, okay. What's his deal? He's just a bit crazy in that.
Just angry. Okay.
It's just angry and weird in that. It sounds like that this was, if they announced Agent Trevor, I don't know if I'd have been into that. I'll be honest with you.
It would have been weird. So date mine in 2023. So I wonder when they shot the stuff. Like, for them to suddenly release single player DLC, potentially like 10 years after release, I wonder, using obviously the existing setup and like mechanics, it might feel really dated and weird. But
they absolutely nailed the DLC with
GTA 4. Tony and
yeah, man.
That should be what they're aiming at, where you're getting, they won't because it's all about online, right?
Yeah. But
the single player 5 to 10 hour episodes that intertwine with the main story, where you see events from the main story, but from another perspective, characters pop in and out that you've seen before. Ah, the way they did that GTA 4 DLC, man, that was so good. So hopefully they do that again, but we know that they probably won't, because all the time and effort's going to go into making GTA Online as big as it was for 5, right?
But it's not just this. I mean, yeah, like there isn't any like Tears of the Kingdom single player DLC coming. Mm-hmm. Seemingly, there was just one for Animal Crossing. I mean, it feels like these games have sold so well. Sure, you'll get DLC, and then you get all those millions of customers to buy another bit of content for 25, 30, 40 quid, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, most of these companies are like, no, we're moving on to something else, or we spent years of our life making this. We're going to work on whatever's coming next, rather than seemingly. Mm-hmm. Getting more revenue from all existing customers. But
it's like, yeah, because you would think from an efficiency point of view, it's still a no-brainer, because you've built up all the tools. It's like because Naughty Dog got good at this, didn't they? Because they, like, when they did, what was the sort of Uncharted 4 spin-off that was apparently really good?
Oh, that was really good. I've forgotten the name, though.
I thought I had someone for like a Secret Santa gift as well. I still don't know.
Yeah, the Naughty Dog were like, well, yeah, it made total sense, because we just made Uncharted 4, so we got really good at making an Uncharted 4. So we could do another one in like a fraction of the time.
It's not that simple, obviously.
The Lost Legacy.
Obviously it's not that simple, but yeah, it's like all the staff you've got there are fresh off making this one thing. So actually doing another bit is not, like, yeah, it's really efficient. Yeah, I don't know, but clearly, yeah, like you say, Matt, maybe it's like a creative burnout thing or something. But then, particularly if people are moving from project to project.
No, go on.
I was going to say, the way most games companies are seemingly run, doesn't feel like they really care about
maybe burnout.
But I think,
in the case of like Rockstar, it's because of the focus on online, isn't it? Because we had that with Red Dead as well. Like, there was no Red Dead 2 DLC either, and it's because presumably they were putting everything into the online instead.
Mm. Yeah, because I think
GTA
when projects...
trailer, I've not watched that GTA 6 trailer for ages. I just looked it up. 187 million views.
Yeah, I think people are excited about
that. That is ludicrous.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one, isn't it?
Oh yeah, in 2029.
Did they delay it since saying? No, it's still 2025, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the rumours were that it will be maybe late or close to 26, but yeah, that's just rumours thus far.
Okay, we'll see. All right, then. Is that it for the news, James?
That is it for the news, yeah.
Cool. Let's get to what you've been playing, and we're going to start with James this week, because he's probably playing the biggest release of the week.
Definitely.
PlayStation,
the hot topic.
Stellar Blade. That has been censored.
That was in the news, James. Why did you bring that up in the news? That's a hot thing, surely.
I don't see as much of the breast.
It, you know,
yeah. We want to see more of the breast, but we don't see as much of the breast anymore. James, are you fuming?
I mean, Livid. Absolutely livid, you know, about the whole thing. I mean, I don't know if anyone's seen the change.org petition, but, you know, you need to get on
that. Well, for people who don't know the story, what is the story? Like, I feel like we should cover this.
So the story seems to be that with Stellar Blade, when they showed a pre-release, like, you know, trailer of this, the character was wearing a costume. That costume does not appear in the game. And so people are upset about that. And also, I think one of the other ones has been, like, they added, like, an undershirt or something to it as well, mm-hmm. to make it a bit less booby,
yes.
I guess.
And so when we say people,
42 years
mean,
old,
you mean
can't say the word booby with confidence.
You're as bad as these people, James.
So people are really annoyed about this. There's been all these quite funny videos online of people talking about censorship and getting really angry. And
I can't stop watching them, honestly. It's really addictive to watch those people say, I demand this and change that, and we the people go stand up for what's right,
demand
yeah,
this.
We're real gamers, and you're ruining centering our hobby. You make me sick.
We have to take a stand here, because where does it end?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Starts off now with an undershirt. Where next? Yeah. A jumper.
I mean, censorship in video games, you know, I don't know many instances where I would get angry about stuff.
Well, and let's be clear, I'm never censorship. It's companies making smart business decisions.
This is what weirds me out is that this word censorship is being used, and what is it being used for? Mm. Like, it's never, it always seems to be around what clothes female characters are wearing. Yep. We've been here before. Mm-hmm. It's always about this, and you just want to go, mate, honestly, just go and there's, come, like, I know that's an easy thing to say, right?
No,
It does baffle me. They're trying to protect the creative vision of the director of the game.
It's affecting their free speech. Yeah. I mean, I think it's right. You basically can't play games these days because of woke. So
it's true. You get thrown in jail for playing a game.
It's impossible to play any game today because of woke, and they're all different. So I think well done to them, and I hope they're very successful in their petition. Yeah, unbelievable. It's almost like, I mean, I've posted in our WhatsApp group, but Mega 64 did a parody like 8 years ago of these people like demanding.
Yeah, it was so much like
it's like,
yeah.
It's so perfect because it's exactly what these wankers are doing right now. It's like, if you can take a step back and look at what you're doing, you're an absolute psychopath. Anyway, brilliant. More
they're
of that,
not
please.
Wankers. They yeah. can't. The thing is, though, I saw the opening to this game when James streamed it in the week, and I just wanted to ring them all up and go, don't worry, lads, there's plenty. You don't need to worry at all. It opens with a pretty much naked coming out of a ship or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was
she's
like,
not worrying a lot.
What's going on here?
Yeah, they should have sent us more. This is embarrassing,
still upset,
frankly.
Actually,
yeah.
James, you're notoriously a pervert, so how are you finding this game?
Yeah, it's funny that you got sent the code for this.
I know, they did. Yeah, we got sent the comb. Did they just send
it
straight?
No, not we. Out of all four of us.
Just sent it straight to me. Didn't bother asking anyone else. It's not what that's about.
Yeah,
but,
weird, isn't it?
Yeah. So this, for anyone that doesn't know, this is like an action 3D adventure game that feels a bit like, I don't know, Bayonetta, maybe? I mean,
I genuinely thought you were going to say, and it's hot as fuck. And it was just those words coming out your mouth.
The sexiest game of the year.
So it's got the usual stuff, like, you know, upgradable trees to enhance, like, you know, power and, you know, equipment and that kind of stuff.
Trees have clothes on?
No, they don't. And that's, I mean, this is the thing. I don't know what to say about this game with regards to that, because it's really kind of...
Both hands, we can see him, James.
There you go, look. There you go, look. It's, we're all good.
We're going to have to stop the wanking jokes for a minute.
I have said that for a while now.
I mean, can I just talk about this, about the problems the game has without referring to the aesthetics?
Yeah. Well, I think we've covered that. Tick.
Okay. So, aside from how the characters look, which is a bit kind of like every single female character you meet in this has very large boobs.
Well, because this is one thing, and I'm sorry, I'm sticking with.
I thought we weren't going to cover this.
We are. It's one thing I've seen a lot of people saying is that, like, this, you know, this isn't even like you're not allowed to fancy characters from video games. It's just the fact that, like, isn't like basically every woman in it like the same body type?
Exactly. And that's what's off-putting. Yeah. Like, it's not... It is off-putting because it completely takes you out of any kind of story they're trying to tell here. Because you're just thinking, why is it like this? This is mad. Like, I don't understand this. But this is part of the problem because the story that they that they've been trying to tell with this, and I'm about 10 hours into this so far because I played it quite a lot over the weekend. And the story is incredibly boring and I could not care less about any of the characters in this game. They're so... paper thin. Like, there's nothing there at all. Like, you've got all these characters, you know, they're all dressing up and all this stuff and everything. You've got side characters. I mean, there's two other, like, sort of main sort of side characters as well, of which you learn very little about them. There's very little sort of, like, banter or sort of repartee between any of the characters. So you don't feel that there's any sort of, like, team dynamic, like, growing, you know, from this at all. You just think these are just completely non-entities. Like, I don't really care at all about any of them. And that's a huge shame because the thing is that there are a lot of aspects about this game that are very good. Like, it really is extremely fun to play, like, in terms of the combat system, which is focused largely on, like, parrying and dodging and then countering. And you really do get that sort of Dark Souls like vibe as well from especially when you're taking on bosses, you know, where you feel the huge achievement after you've managed to get through one. And the character designs for the monsters are fantastic. Like, they look brilliant.
Well, that's what sticks out with me, because it's like, you look at the enemies that you're fighting and the bosses and stuff and you go, fuck, this looks really cool.
Yeah.
So why haven't you made, like, the characters that you meet? Yeah. Why do they all look like a little bit like...
They feel completely out of place in the world. Right. Like, it doesn't mesh at all with the design aesthetic from the rest of the game at all. It's just really, really odd. And, I mean... aside from other negatives, I mean, the only other major negatives are it has like platforming sections as well. And these are really not great because character movement in this, like, you often need quite precise movement and this doesn't have that. Mm. And so there can be quite a lot of frustration. Like, it has like wall running sections where it's quite difficult to like jump from place to place, you know, places where you have to like jump on top of platforms and they're like a little bit too small and your character is not, you know, doesn't move in the air in the way that you're kind of expecting they're going to. And it's quite easy to die and it gets quite frustrating and irritating. And also, I mean, the game opens up after a couple of hours into like a really cool and interesting overworld as well, which is like this wasteland that you go around and explore, and it has like all these side missions. I mean, to be fair, most of the side missions are, can you help me find this person? They've gone missing in the wasteland. You find them and they're dead, and then you just go back and say, yeah, they're dead, sorry. And happens repeatedly. That seems to be one of the things. But it's just the character design for this, like, I do have to go back to it. It just feels so unnecessary and distracting. And if this had a better story and characters that really looked like they belonged in this world, this could be something really good, actually. Like, something really, really good. As opposed to something...
Is it that bad, though? Is that stuff that bad that it's actually knocking it down to going from a really good game to something less... Like, I mean... Is it that bad?
You see, that's the thing. I'm not, like, the sexualization is pretty terrible. Like, I mean, Chen saw it and she was just like, what is that? Like, she was not impressed at all. And, like, to the point where also, if I play it and that, like, Rachel's around or Asher's around, I'm specifically choosing costumes which are, like, not the really awful ones because you're just like, they don't want to see this.
What do you do anyway, when they're not... what are you doing when they're not around?
I'm just saying, that's why... You know,
you've just exposed yourself. You've just exposed yourself.
Because normally, fucking hell, you cannot...
Here's another question, and I'm being a prick on purpose because I want to try and get to the
that explains a lot in the last 7 years.
So, you wouldn't play this in front of the kids because of the over-sexualized main character. But would you play Bayonetta in front of them?
Maybe not, actually, for the same sort of reasons.
Exactly, because she's like almost naked.
That's how her powers work, Dave. So
yeah,
there's more reasons.
This is what I'm thinking. How was Bayonetta accepted, and this isn't? In my head, it's because Bayonetta felt like a more rounded character, and that was
But also Bayonetta, the character, but also, fit within that environment.
Also, it is fucking stupid that when she hit people with her hair, she was butt naked. Like, that is dumb, right?
Yeah, and obviously, I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, I actually like Bayonetta because of the writing, Dave. actually. That's why I think she's a good character.
Yeah, no, the writer's not, yeah, the writer's not, yeah,
especially not your history.
Exactly. So,
but I mean, yeah, well, I mean, in the chat, what a lot of people are saying is, like, you know, Bayonetta doing it for laughs and that kind of thing, which there is a degree of that, which there is completely absent that, yeah, in this. Like, it's done, this is done completely seriously. But also, it's the volume as well of, like, different costumes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's like, you look at it and I think, yeah, I'm not, like, offended by this, but I do feel that it lessens the game because these, it just doesn't fit with the aesthetic.
Well, yeah,
the
because,
rest
like,
of the game.
Because with Bayonetta, like, whatever you think about it, like, Bayonetta the character has got agency over how she looks, whereas this feels more like you're dressing up a doll. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's the case. Yeah. But it's just a shame,
it's interesting.
It is good. Like, it's a
I've
very
just remembered some of the
other
characters you could put on Bayonetta, actually, and maybe that argument doesn't stand up.
What do you mean?
Do you remember the Princess Peach
the
one
other
and
what?
Stuff?
What's this?
There was some, like, bonus costumes in Bayonetta when it came out on the Wii U or whatever, and it was, yeah, some of them were a bit.
Well, why did you buy them all, Sean?
I think they're cool.
Lore reasons.
Yeah, it's good. good character.
Cool. Princess Peach one?
Yeah, I think there's a Princess Peach one. I remember looking a bit weird.
Yeah, there was the Nintendo costumes and stuff that you could. Yeah.
That's weird that Nintendo would let a Princess Peach costume look like that, isn't it?
Could you buy a Tom Nook one?
Okay. All right. Carry on.
But yeah, but as I said, it is really fun to play, and I will continue playing it and probably maybe get to the end. But it's just, I don't know. All the discourse around it with all this sort of stuff, I can kind of understand why people are kind of put off from it as well, because it is. It's just.
It reviewed well, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know, it's just aesthetically jarring, I think, in places, which is, a bit.
And you've got to imagine, a vast majority of the audience aren't going to have seen this shit, or they're not the very online people, and they're like, oh yeah, it's done well, and it reviewed well, and they're bored, and they're probably having a fun time. It's just, if you're very online, and you see this kind of shit all the time on X, then you're probably thinking this is consuming the entire conversation, but that probably isn't the case for most people who play this, thankfully.
How far into it are you, James?
So about 10 hours or so, which I don't know how far that is, like, in terms, because I've done quite a lot of, like, side missions and stuff as well, so.
Right.
Yeah. I've no idea how far that is in.
And you're going to continue until it's done?
Yeah, I think so.
Main story's 13 hours, so it's not a massive game.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably, I've done a lot of side stuff as well.
Aren't they? They're usually sort of assuming you're going to do New Game Plus and stuff.
I mean, that's the other thing that is really disappointing about it, is I am disappointed by the story, like, honestly, because story is something which is always really important to me in games, because it gives me a really good hook for why I'm, engaging whatever I'm doing. But it's the problem with this one is it's so lazy. Like, I mean, your character's name is Eve. The assistant that you've got who's helping you is called Adam.
Adam?
Yeah. And then you've got, the city, the last city that of, like, humankind is, like, active on Earth is called Zion. You know, it's like, it's just, everything is just, it's really disappointing, like, in terms of just cliche-ridden awfulness. But, yeah. But then I've heard that the designer, the main focus is always on the combat systems and on the way things, like, move and the way things those things work, rather than on story. It's just a shame. Can't they just get a good writer? And then it'd be good.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I'm going to wait for that game to come out on whatever the PlayStation's version of Game Pass is in the near future.
And there's a demo, isn't there? Or did I misremember? I think there's a demo.
I'd rather just play the game. I've not. There's something about demos at the moment that really turn me off, and I'm kind of like, well, no, if I want to play that game, I'll actually just play that game rather than this little snippet that I've got to download separately. And I don't know. We'll see. What else have you been playing, James?
So the only other thing I played is I played the Epic's collection handheld. Now, what this is. Sean, you know what Epic's is, right? Like, the company.
The publisher. Was it publisher or developer?
Yeah. Both. Okay. It's yeah. I mean, they were the company that originally were like designed the Atari Lynx, but then like Atari bought it and integrated, right?
And James has got an obsession with. Sorry, if you're new to the show, James has got an obsession with failed hardware.
It's like, true.
It's a really, really weird obsession he's got with failed hardware.
It's true. I love it.
And the
Lynx
is of
it.
It's what like, is it about failed hardware that you love?
Well, there's two things. One thing is, like, I find it very interesting to think about, like, how you have something... Like, for example, the 32X, right? You know, that was the plug-in for the Mega Drive. What could have been? Like, what that... You know, if that had succeeded, how maybe that would have changed things or things could have been different. I love that idea of, like, potential that hasn't been realised, you know, like, with these machines. So the same thing with, like, the Jaguar and the Lynx as well. Like, there was a lot... There was power there that just was never really utilised, you know, because of because they kind of failed. But then also
The PSVR 2 purchase makes so much more sense now. You got in on the ground floor.
Well, this is it. And remember, he bought the Xbox One before the PS4.
Yeah.
Didn't you? And,
and this is great.
Yeah, man, this is just
you're actually drawn to these things.
Yeah, it is like that.
Why haven't you got a Vision Pro?
But yeah, so but this is the thing is with the Lynx is also I never owned the Lynx, but I manipulated a friend of mine to buy one when he was a kid, and I always felt bad.
That sounds great, James. Lovely child you were.
No, because what happened right was I had a Game Boy, and he was like, "I'm going to get a Game Boy," and I was like, "Why don't you get like an Atari Lynx instead, and then we can like swap consoles and we can play different games and
stuff." Didn't it cost like five times as much or something?
It was a bit more expensive.
To live in a mansion.
No, it was a bit more expensive, but not so much. But anyway, he bought one in the end, but he only ever got two games for it because they were quite expensive.
Couldn't afford anymore. Yeah.
He's like, I wish I bought Game Gear. No, you're not.
And also, the other thing about it is I remember we used to play it like in my dad's car. And the reason for this is because he didn't have, you know, like the Lynx used to drink batteries. Mm-hmm. It was like six, you know, AA batteries, and then it would die. Sorry,
oh god, he's gonna pass out because he's just thinking about probably. I'm gonna assume this story ends with his dad's battery ran out of juice. Yep.
Yeah. Well, no, because
that's a classic tale.
Yeah. So he didn't have like an AC adapter for it, but he did have one of those cigarette lighter adapters for it. So we used to have to go and sit in the car and play Lynx if we wanted to, which was kind of weird.
Your dad had to drive.
Yeah, definitely.
That's worse than leaving your lights on overnight.
So I was always curious because I remember playing a game on that called Gates of Zendikon, which I enjoyed. I thought it was pretty good. And then I saw that this like Epics collection was coming out, which had like a whole bunch of games that I remembered from when I was younger. And I thought, yeah, I'd like to give that a go. It has Gates of Zendikon, which I played, and I kind of regret buying this now because it's much slower and much more rubbish than I thought it was.
You regret buying this. You made your mate buy the whole fucking console when you were a kid. This is your punishment.
And this only cost me 11 quid. And
exactly. It cost like 600 quid, probably.
And then also, I mean, it's got California Games as well, which...
Oh, there we go.
Some of you must have played, yeah?
Yeah, fucking hell,
yeah. That must be a shit version of it.
That's the thing. It is a really shit version of California Games because it's only got four events as well. And you see, the one I remember fondly was the Master System version, which had loads more events. But also, manual...
That game would be perfect for a remaster. How good would that be, a modern version? California Games.
What were the? Let's have a look at what the events were. See how many you can guess, Matt.
I mean, I've already googled it, so I know.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Surfing, just off the top of my head, surfing.
Well, no, there's no point now, is there? Flying disc. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
roller skating was the
half
worst
pipe.
One.
Brilliant. This would be amazing. Remaster this. Come on.
Isn't it called Happy Sack? Isn't it Happy Sack?
Happy Sack, yeah. That's the foot bag.
Why have they called it foot bag?
Don't
know. Oh, Hacky Sack.
Is that an emo on his back?
Not Happy Sack, you idiot. Sorry, everyone. I'm an idiot. Right.
I mean, I was just looking at some of the other games on here. They don't name...
I'm sorry, Matt's on a delay. One sec, it'll catch up in a minute. Fucking hell.
They don't name games like they used to, did they? Electro Cop.
Oh, I can tell you about Electro Cop because it looks awful, but it has this amazing intro, like where it has like, you know, text story, right? That just keeps going. Like it goes on and on and on. And it reads like something Asher would write. Seriously. Like it's incredible.
It's a bit
like,
of a harsh thing to say about your own child.
But... Yeah, your own son.
But no, you get into it and it's dreadful. It's absolutely terrible. Then it's got Todd's Adventure in Slime World.
I was
going to
mention that one next. What's that like?
I mean, it looks appalling and plays even worse.
Cool.
It's absolutely terrible.
What and are you playing this on, sorry? Switch?
Yeah. Then this other game called Zala Mercenary, which is a top-down shooter. And you seem to spend your time destroying a city of people who just seem to be going about their business. Like, they don't seem to be doing anything, just blowing everything up.
Okay, so again, given your Life is Strange, you know, precedent, you'd probably love that.
How much was this?
It's like 11 quid, I think. Why?
Why did you... I don't get why you bought this.
Yeah, because 12 quid on Switch.
Again, it's like, it's the nostalgia play. Like, I was interested in Gates of Zendikon and also potentially California Games, but then it just makes you realise the links really was shit. It really was a bad console, and it's a shame.
Do you still keep in touch with that person you manipulated as a child?
From time to time.
I just want to say sorry.
I nearly sent him a screenshot of me playing Gates of Zendikon, actually, just to see if he'd remember.
With the caption, ha ha ha, twat.
Yeah. Exactly. He's like, James, I'm still paying that off.
What a weird purchase, James. What a fucking odd man.
Is it weird for James?
There was that other Atari collection that came out recently as well, which was really, really well made and really great. Like, it was like 50 games and stuff, and that was pretty cool. I was hoping it's going to be like that level of quality, but it's really not.
Sorry, Ben in the chat just said, just a reminder that last week James binned off Pepper Grinder but bought this shite.
Yeah, Pepper Grinder's not very good. Okay. So,
This sounds great, though.
Not
saying Sean, is. Never did.
What have you
done? Whereas Gates of Zendikon is.
It was a good game back in the day. It's just...
Todd's Adventure Slime World, though.
Yeah, that was awful.
Sean, what have you been playing?
Blue Lightning was all right. Go on.
I've been playing a few things. The main one being Mana Lords.
That's massively
brought
up, isn't it?
Massive.
Steam.
It is a sort of medieval city builder game. And it's really interesting because, on the one hand, I'm kind of mystified as to why it's as huge as it is. Because on paper, it's just a good one of these. But I can't stop playing it, and I had to tear myself to come and record this. It's like you start out, and it's just like you're in a field, and you've got some tents, and that's where your villagers live in. You've got some supplies. Off you go, and you're setting up the infrastructure, right? It's that usual thing of... You start out and you're like, oh, well, this is quite easy. But actually, if I introduce some more villagers, I could do a couple of new more things. Oh, but then they also need more food and more firewood. And now I'm upgrading some of my houses. And now they want proper clothes and they want better food. And so you're just spinning more and more and more plates as you're expanding and trying to stop people from starving or freezing to death. Sorry, Dave, go on. You were gonna...
Can I ask you, is it... is the tutorial... Does it do that awful thing that I fucking hate where... It'll say click here, now click here, you need to add this. Click here, and you're just like, ugh, fucking, I hate that.
Yeah, and it's like the fact that it's like the thing's glowing and you literally can't click on anything else.
Yeah, you can't click anywhere else. It's like, okay.
Which I get, because obviously people will click on the wrong thing and break the tutorial.
It doesn't really
do that. It's still good. In early access, right? Apparently it's a solo project. Yeah. Guy's been working on it for 7 years. And I mean, certainly, like, what's here is great. I'm not, you know, you can see where the seams are. There's stuff clearly not finished and what have you. But yeah, it's just unbelievably compelling. I think the main thing about it for me is, I mean, it gets the complexity of your villagers' needs correct, right? And how you, it's like, okay, villagers want better clothes. Okay, in order to get better clothes, I need yarn. To get yarn, I need sheep. To get sheep, I need a sheep farm, and I need a livestock trading post. To get those, I need these building materials and blah, 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 so on and so on. And that stuff is like fun to figure out and working out those supply chains and stuff. I think the other thing that's really cool about it is that the villages aren't thick, right? You're building these things, you're building, you know, farms, like forester huts, whatever, like hunting camps, whatever, and then with each one of those, you just have like a pool of villagers, right? It's like a number of families. They're split into families. So you build a new thing, and you just choose how many families to assign to it. any families that aren't assigned to a specific task, they're your builders. They'll move materials around. They'll build things. But like, so for example, when you build a farm, you build the farmhouse and then you plot out the fields as well, and you do that separately. And then within those fields, you might be like, right, this year, this one's going to be wheat. This field's going to be fallow. This one's going to be flax seed or whatever. But you don't really have to micromanage it beyond that. Like, anyone who's employed at that farm will just get it, and they will harvest stuff when they need to, and they'll show up when they need to, and they'll move things around where they need to. You don't have to be like, right, this farmhouse is like attached to these fields and you need to go here. Like, they just sort of manage themselves. It just gets that really nice balance of like the things you do and don't have to micromanage. Yeah, it's just really fucking enjoyable. It's got combat in it. At the moment, I've only played the scenario that doesn't have any combat in, because apparently the combat's still quite rudimentary and like not the reason to play it. But yeah, it's for some reason it's done unbelievably well this week, and fair play to it, because it's fucking
good. Yeah, it's like over 150,000 current, like probably sold millions.
And it's on Game Pass as well. Well, it's on Game Pass PC, I should say. It's not on console yet. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah. What part of it has hooked you to the point where you're like, I can't? Like, what is it? What's that thing that's...
It's just that constant.
Is it one of those,
like,
things where you're just thinking about what the possibilities are when you're not playing it? So when you get home, all you want to do is see what's possible.
It's like, well, for starters, your town like levels up, right? And then so to reach each level, there's a requirement. It's like, right, well, you need like this many level 3 houses. You need a church. You need a, you know, this, that, and the other. So it is just that constant, like, right, how do I get to that next level?
There's numbers go up.
Yeah, basically. But
happy street.
And it's just, yeah, and it's just nice as well, because you build this little village and you can walk around it in third person, which, you know, is one of those things that's like,
oh, that's nice.
Enough, like, you know, quite a few of these games do it, but not all of them. So when it is an option, you're just like, thank fuck, because it's so cool to be able to do that.
Yeah, totally.
It's just, yeah, it's cozy, Dave. That's what it is.
Cozy.
And there's that feeling of like,
I hate those.
Like, you're running out of food and it's like September. And you just like, everyone's like 1 month away from starving, but I know in about 2 minutes, all my little guys are going to run out onto that field, and then they're going to grab all the wheat, and then they're going to take it to the windmill, and then they're going to turn it into flour, and then they're going to take the flour to the bakery, and they're going to turn it into bread, and then they're going to take it from the take the bread to the market.
They're already
dead
by the time this process
is
finished. They're all dead by the time the process is finished.
Do you know what I mean? Just that sense of like, and this looks bad, but I know in any second now, this whole chain of events that I've set up is going to like kick in. And it's going to be fine. Yeah, yeah. It's just a good feeling.
Cool.
I've also played...
Is it too complicated to come to console? Obviously, you mentioned PC Game Pass. Could this be a console thing in the future? Is there a lot happening control-wise?
No, it's fine. And obviously, because it's one of the, you know, it's one of these where you can change the speed that it plays at any point. So you basically put it to normal speed, which might as well be slow motion. And then you're placing buildings, working things out, building roads, whatever. And then you're like, right, now put it to like 12 times speed and actually see things play out really quickly, and then stop it again, do more stuff. So yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't work with a controller. So yeah.
It's almost like medieval City Skylines.
Yes, basically, yeah. And just, yeah, and because you'll start on like a random bit. There's only one map, but it's massive. So you'll be chucked in like a random bit of it. And then you've got to be like, right, where are the resources? And how should I start plotting this village out accordingly, making sure we've got access to everything we need? Yeah, really good.
Sounds cool. Sounds cool.
Couple of short ones. Another Crab's Treasure came out this week, also on Game Pass, if you're that way inclined. Also reviewed really well. Turns out I am just done with Souls-likes, sadly. It's clearly good. I just got to the first boss and died to it several times, and I was just like, oh, I haven't got the energy for this anymore.
You say it's a Souls-like, what like in what way? Is it just everything from like a...
So you're a little crab, and you're running around on the ocean floor fighting baddies with like a fork, or obviously you find other weapons as you go. And it's Dark Souls third person combat, basically.
I heard someone in like a newsletter I got today referring it to as Sheldon Ring.
Nice, very good.
Now I'm tempted to play.
It's a good one.
Well, because what is cool is because you're a hermit crab, and you pick up other shells as you go. So yeah, and you swap them around, and then so like you can block with your shell, your currently equipped shell, but then the shell takes damage, so you're sort of managing that as well. That's quite cool. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of accessibility options. I should just go back and just be like, yeah, make it not punishingly difficult for me, please.
Sure, and if you want to play a game like that, but with sexy ladies, you could play Stellar Blade instead.
Need a PS5 though, wouldn't it?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Does it look crap? Because from the screenshots, it doesn't look brilliant.
It's made by a very small team. I know what you mean, though. It's clearly going for that, like a certain aesthetic, but it's not. Not a looker, really.
Mm. Okay.
Last one. I finally went back and saw the final ending of Ultros, the psychedelic Metroidvania that I talked about quite a bit earlier this year. Yeah, I fucking loved it. I was worried when I sort of figured out what the road to the final ending was. I was a bit like, have I got the patience for this? But yeah, really, really got into it and really loved doing it. And as I say, just yeah, the way the game makes this really beautiful transition to you just not even fighting anything anymore, and you are just a gardener, and you're figuring out this huge puzzle that kind of spans like the entire map. It's great. Really, really loved it. Really glad I saw the final ending on it.
Yeah, I need to sort of play this, really. I need to put it on my list because it does look pretty cool, but it come out really soon after the
Prince of Persia.
Game.
Which I do think really hurt it, because I think a lot of people are like, I've just played a really good Metroidvania. I don't need another one just yet. So, yeah. But I do think, and I'm not saying like, oh, it's better than that, because I'm guessing the like combat and platforming stuff in Prince of Persia is probably better, but just what Ultros does is just really fucking interesting. Yeah, loved it. Had the soundtrack on repeat since.
Cool.
That's it from me.
Very, very brief one for me. Yeah, I'm still plugging away at Harold Halibut. Mm-hmm. I could see why people are saying, yeah, it's probably too long. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff in there that you think, okay, but it's still, like, you don't get stuck much. There was one bit where it was like, no one wants to give you a job to do. They don't need you to work. And you're sort of searching around for something to do, which I thought was a little bit needless, because it is really quite clear in where it wants you to go. If you go to your pad and then go to do, it says, I need to speak to such and such, who is likely to be in the arcade. And you're like, right, well, I'll go meet him in the arcade or whatever. I still love Harold Halibut. I still love the story. I still love the characters. Even though from science fiction, even, it is a fucking nonsense. for example, you know, the tube system that Harold uses to get around, which looks like water slides, basically, and that's how they get around the ship. You find a new location and they install a tube system to that location, right. And you're like, yeah, but how's that work? Because we're sort of in a vortex, aren't we, the ship? So surely the, I don't know how the tube works then. But it's done some really funny things. There was a very, it's my sort of humour. There are bits in it that's my sort of humour where it's the weirdest dancing video I've ever seen.
That clip was great. I was really chuckling.
I thought it was fucking hilarious. The fact that it lingers on it for that length of time. And I told you the context in which you see it as well, which makes it even funnier for me, I think. Yeah, I still think it's got a lot of heart and I'm still loving it. I'm ready for it to end, but I believe I'm near the end anyway, so I will have that finished for next week. And the kids have been all over it. We love, like, Charlie keeps asking about how Fishy's doing and all this sort of stuff, and can we go here, can we talk to that character, let's go and see what they're doing. So that's been quite sweet. I would be surprised if it's not on my Gotti list, put it that way. Not expecting it to win. Look at Sean's face. Not expecting it to win.
Round one out.
I love the fact that it feels so unique, and I don't know, man. I could see why people aren't into it, but my word is it's getting me in the old feels there.
All the feels.
Harold Halibut. Yeah. What was the phrase?
All the fills there.
All the fills there. What a
madness. Because you sent me that link, Dave, to the bit. Sorry, it was a link to a full playthrough.
Why is James not getting a F-Zero Night Run toe?
shit logo.
I might have thought about, you know, like the about this a bit better, then maybe I would be.
Yeah, I fucked up there, but you know, it doesn't matter because I would have said that, and you would have said, "Well, you've got to get me."
So Dave linked me to a full playthrough and was like, "Look, here's the timestamp for this bit. I want you to see."
Oh, the bit that I could, yeah,
I did.
Did do nothing for you.
It didn't, but right. I did leave it on for like a good 20 minutes or so afterwards, while I was like doing other stuff. So there's part of me that, I mean, and I know this is sacrilege, like it's a fucking video game, but part of me was like, I probably could just like half watch this while I'm doing other stuff.
I think for this game, it's about as okay to do as you can get, really, because there's, as you say, there's such minimal interaction to what you're doing. There are a few sort of dialogue choices, but they don't really amount to anything. So I don't blame you really. But that, honestly, that piece, and it's funny because, you know, I saw a few people in our Discord or on Twitter saying, yeah, I'm trying to get to that bit. I'm not really enjoying it, but I'm trying to get to that bit that David was talking about. Don't, like, it's not like the biggest thing ever in a video game. It's not like mind blowing. It's just, for me, I just thought it was so beautifully done. And as I said, there's also those little moments where you and the postman are standing next to each other reading someone's letter. And it's, I don't know, man, I just fucking, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm not going to defend it for those that are not enjoying it. Matt.
No, I didn't play anything this week.
Excellent. That's cool. That's his new catchphrase.
Well, no, because we had a pod on Monday, editing Tuesday, pod on Wednesday, editing on Thursday. Suddenly, you know, then I played FIFA one night with you, Dave, and then suddenly we're here.
We all did all those things as well, apart from I didn't play FIFA, obviously.
Well, not the editing.
And the editing.
I did a stream. I built some Lego. Not Lego.
No.
Definitely not.
Can't call it that. Lego. Plastic bricks. No connect.
Okay. Are you going to play anything this week for the listeners?
Let's think. So
I've heard Final Fantasy VII Rebirth's good.
From all the characters, Sean. I wish I could talk to you about the characters. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. So do it another time.
Should we get to questions?
If you want to send us a question, go to tcgs.co/DearTCGS. Maria Mendieta says, "Dear TCGS Costly Hardware, I bought the Wii title Cursed Mountain to play on my Wii U over the weekend. After humming and whoring over the cover featuring a man simply stretching out his hand, I decided to buy it. It was such a blast to learn that the game is about a pickaxe that shoots magic lasers, none of which was featured on the cover. When has a game's box art been notably misleading for you? Keep up the incredible work. Sincerely, Maria." I think I reviewed this game.
I don't think I've got one.
Did you? In a former life. Give me a second.
Maybe that's why Maria bought it. So I read this review on Dark Zero.
This is an absolute banger. Cursed Mountain. So this would have been on Dark Zero. Let me have a look.
Sad thing, really, is that I don't see enough box art because I don't see enough boxes these days.
Oh my god, I did review it.
What do you mean?
In 2009.
That's a read out of 10.
No, gave read it a 5 out of 10. No,
read the last paragraph.
Yeah, read
paragraph.
The summary.
Okay.
what did you get for graphics out of 10?
No, we didn't split it like that. It was just one overall score.
Longevity.
Of course, you might argue that your average Wii owner won't necessarily have played many survival horror titles, in which case Cursed Mountain might not seem so terrible. But then, if you're one of those average Wii owners, you can get the mighty Wii edition of Resident Evil 4 for less money instead and have a lot more fun. Meanwhile, everyone who's already played Resident Evil 4 can see that Cursed Mountain is, without a shadow of a doubt, a bit pants.
No!
Oh, God, that's a bit cringe.
You just got savaged by Sean Bell, renegade newcomer journalist.
I was a bit pants, is it?
That's what I thought in 2009.
Isn't the most misleading box art of all time the Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty box art?
Because it's got the wrong character on it.
It's got the wrong character on the fucking front cover.
Oh, I do mention, Eric does carry an ice axe, but its main uses are smashing open pots and shooting bolts of magic at ghosts. There you go. Maria's correct.
That's the ultimate answer, isn't it? Metal Gear Solid 2? That was the bait and switch.
Yeah, and it was an intentional rug pull, wasn't it?
Fuck you.
I can't think of any genuinely misleading box art other than that. I can think of
everything from the Atari days. When you look at some of the artwork that was on that, and then it was like,
there's a lot of that with Game Boy games as well. Like, yeah, they always looked incredible box art.
This is how it will look in your imagination.
Yeah.
Some effort on your part. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nathan says, what's the best/coolest looking games console? Just talking purely about how the box looks under your telly. You can include limited editions, pro versions, slim versions, etc.
Panasonic Cube.
Oh,
I mean, that was one that I always looked at and nearly cried.
Really?
But I was like, I will never own a Panasonic Q. Does it hold up? I've not seen one for a while. Panasonic.
I bet it does. I mean, it's basically like a mirrored GameCube. How can it not? With the LCD on the front.
No, I don't know. That big bit at the top actually looks a bit shit. I see, because I think the GameCube original design is still a thing of beauty. Like, I think it's such... I don't know. I love it. It's not the coolest, though, is it? It's not cool.
No. I mean, what is
cool?
We said
best/coolest. I think that's open to interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that might be timeless, the GameCube. I think I love it. Whereas I look at the N64 and think, okay, it looks okay, but it's not like, yeah, it's not, yeah.
I like the original 360. I thought that looked cool when it first came out.
It did age badly, but at the time
it did.
Yeah,
it was very in fitting with the sort of that attitude that they went in with.
What interests me is like obviously the last few PlayStations, but I say the last few, I mean basically, well, all of them apart from the first one really have all been strange. Like, you know, when we first saw the PS5 and we're like, oh my god, that's horrific, but then part of me was like, yeah, but I thought that about the PS2 and I kind of grew to love it, so maybe that'll happen with a PS5, but it hasn't.
No.
I absolutely love the 1X. The day one edition, it had that kind of like gold on it. I thought it was really smart.
See, I still think the Series S looks good. Honestly.
The Series S is great, yeah.
The Series S looks
okay, but it does not look as good as the 1X. The 1X is like properly... I just think it's so smart looking. Mm. Like, honestly, I loved how that console looked. And especially, I mean, yeah, it's easy to say.
No, it was a Project Scorpio edition, I think.
I don't think that was as good as the normal one.
But see, I also
when
like
they had
the
matte one, that was where it was at.
I also like the original PS4 as well. I thought that looked pretty good compared with the Xbox One.
PS3 as well. It was fucking massive, but didn't mind the look of it.
No, the PS3 was awful.
Do you think?
No, the PS3 looked horrible.
It was piano black.
Yeah, the original one was like a Breville toasty.
No, it was horrible. I hated the PS3. The look of the PS3.
It was bad because
of
the fucking useless buttons on it. They were a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I preferred the PS2 look, to be honest with you. I thought the PS2, it's a bit stupid. I don't know if it stands the test of time, but I thought when it came out. Yeah, no, the answer for me is probably the 1X, yeah. It's not the best console by any means. Let's not be stupid, but I do think that hardware looks incredible. Mm-hmm. It really does look good.
I mean, for me, obviously, you know what my answer is going to be. It's either the Japanese Saturn. Well, they had like the original purple one. They had a white one as well. Like, when I got my Saturn, this was in Debenhams, that I got like a cool pad, which is basically a Saturn pad, was like semi-translucent. I don't know if you can ever get the full console like that, but... Yeah, the white Saturn.
No, I'm sorry. I loved the Sega Saturn as much as you did. I think we were the only two people in the country that did, Matt. The console didn't look good.
And my mate Peter.
It didn't look good.
I like the grey version of it. I thought the grey version was
cool. Japanese one's nice, yeah.
Nah, it doesn't look good. It doesn't. With a top-loaded CD, I'm not having that.
Dreamcast was cute.
Nah, it didn't.
Dreamcast
looked
good?
I love the Dreamcast, but I didn't think it looked amazing.
Yeah. No. Come on, James. We nearly won Dave over then. But
I think the Dreamcast looks better than the Saturn. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like the console that much and the pad. Honestly, I still don't understand the pad, to be quite honest with you. But
yeah, the pad has not aged well.
And now we've got the PS5, which, I mean, I didn't offend me like it did most people, but it's not an attractive console. And then the 1X is just obelisk. Straight up and straight down. Yeah, yeah, it's like, Just doesn't really do anything.
What about the European SNES? Is that
it's got
there?
The cool grill on the top. The
It's got a sick grill.
Yeah, it's got a sick grill.
But yeah, it's like more kind of less
the SNES
adventurous.
Is fine. It's a lot better than the American one. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the American SNES is horrendous, isn't it?
See, I still, I mean, back a long time ago, I thought the Mega Drive looked good. You know, because it in the like early 90s looked very
the
cool.
The Mega Drive 2?
You know.
Yeah, one or two.
The original, not the
really one. Yeah. Oh no, the Mega Drive 2 looks way better than the one. What are you talking about?
The Master System one is a strange beast.
Yeah, it is.
That's good.
The fact that most people,
I don't think the one looks better than the two. It's not even close. The one's got the slider on the top of it.
No, I think the one definitely looks better than the two. Yeah, the two with those red buttons. No,
yeah, with the two red buttons. Yeah.
The two looks cheap, whereas the original one looks like. Proper, like, from the future, you know, 16-bit.
And, like, the American one with that big 16-bit on the front, that's even cooler.
No, the one looks like a hangover from the Atari days.
No, it doesn't.
With the little, the control, that fucking
headphone. The two looks like a cheap knockoff of a Mega Drive.
Yeah, but it has that headphone jack. It has a much better sound chip than the Mega Drive 2 had.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking visual design.
You're talking coolest.
Got nothing to do with
which
what's
was the Atari that had the wood panelling on it. Bring that back.
Atari 2600. The Atari 2600. I had one of those bad boys.
Oh man, I just saw like the box of the Mega Drive 2 and like the nostalgia almost gave me a heart attack. It's like, look at that box, man. The Mega Drive logo.
See, I love that you have.
You know that like
didn't
Sega.
Start playing video games until you started this fucking podcast.
Fuck off. I started playing for you because I'm older.
I love those grid boxes that Sega has.
Yeah.
You know? I was
disappointed.
Like
the Master System instruction manuals, which are basically a white grid.
I told the story before, I didn't, because the Gladiator toy figures use the same design. And when I peeled off a bit of my Christmas present, I thinking I was getting a Mega Drive, I unwrapped it all and realised it wasn't. It was Wolf doing a duel with one of the other ones. It's fucking well disappointing.
Nightmare.
But what about...
No, Gladiators.
What about the Tower of Power? Like, I mean, would you still want that like underneath your TV?
No, I wanted a Mega Drive. Okay. The Tower of Power. Next question.
Alistair IKEA Milk Frother says, Sean mentioning a game and then never talking about it again. I think we need to highlight Dave the Diver. This should have been making more Game of the Year discussions with the PS5 release. This surely should be mentioned in this year's GOTY list. I await Sean's reply. Was it this year it lands on PS5? Sorry, Dave, go on.
Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it recently landed on PS5, didn't it?
Yeah,
You mentioned it loads, I thought.
Yeah, I thought I talked about it quite a bit. What kills me is I've reached a bit of a slow bit in the story that I don't really want to do. So then whenever I load it up, like, no, I should really get back into Dave the Diver. I'm like, oh, fucking hell, I'm on this bit. Fuck
yeah, I wonder how close I was to you, because there was a bit where I was kind of was a bit of a lull there. And it's one of those, it's like... Obviously, the longer you play it, the more time you're going to be diving. Like, the length of time when you first start diving to... And then there's times where it's like, oh, actually, this is the diving bit's too long for me now, actually. And it's not... Whereas before, it would take 5 to 10 minutes to dive and get what you need and then go back up.
You do start getting, shortcuts to, further down.
Okay, we weren't at the same bit then, because I don't think I got to any of those shortcuts, so... Okay, all right.
Yeah, really good game though.
It was
not
really
an indie game.
Oh, right.
Independent studio ish. Well, no, the game was indie, but the studio wasn't, right?
I don't think that's how it works, is it?
Was it indie or independent? The studio was part of Tencent, right?
Is it Tencent or was it one?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Massive.
Was it Nexon or
massive.
Something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Brian.
Is that what you just said, Matt? Did you just give up?
I thought it was like, yeah, like the studio wasn't, but it was like a smaller team working it, so does that make independent? But even
though it doesn't. Including the developers.
It absolutely does not make it independent. That's ridiculous.
Just makes it a small game made in a very safe environment. as I said at the time, there's lots of reasons you could say a lot of games broadly considered to be indie are maybe not, but whatever. Next question comes from Brian. Says minor thing, but I've noticed Dave has a particular way of saying "holy fuck." Where did that come from?
Should I just say where I go from?
Yeah, please do, because I've never known. And the thing with being friends with Dave Turners is he's got funny ways of saying lots of things, and if you asked him for the origin of every single one, you wouldn't get anything else done. So
his vocabulary is mostly made up of just like borrowed things, you know, from everywhere.
I just really like the podcast Cranky Gamers UK. And what was really funny about it is the main presenter, Toz, would talk for ages and then say, right, I'm going to stop talking for a bit, and then let his co-host talk. And the co-host would talk for about 12 seconds before he interrupted and carried on talking for another 15 minutes. And one of those moments happened where he talked for ages and then he said, I'm going to let you talk now. Tricky or Ricky or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Tricky.
And then Tricky started talking, and out of like literally about 3 seconds after saying, right, I'm tired now, I'm not going to talk much, yeah, over to you, he in the background goes, holy fuck. the podcast grinds to a halt and they go, what's up? Oh, sorry, I just checked and one of my bets came in. I've won my bet. So he immediately went to his phone, saw he won, and she went, holy fuck. I rewound it about 80 times.
It's more delicate than that. It's like you barely hear it, but it is like, yeah.
Now we know.
Holy fuck. It's so subtle. Perfect. Yeah.
So that's the origin behind
that's
that.
Why. Cool. That's why we say that.
MD Krabos, what qualities do you look for in a boss? I don't know if they mean video game boss or real life. I want to say real life.
Yeah, real life boss. Yeah. I'm assuming
propensity for raises.
Yeah, I just want them to look cool. Like, genuinely, that's the main thing I want from a boss. And I just want them to look
good. I was going to say support, training, you know, trust, all that kind of...
I just want someone to leave me alone.
I was going to say, but, yeah, like a boss... So I'm quite lucky because my boss is... pretty funny.
No, hold
and
on. We,
doesn't
oh, right. Can I just say no before you carry on? Before I said this, I said no video games.
Yeah,
he's talking about video game boss, and then I said like they've got to look good, and now you're saying
oh,
no, we're
talking
real
about
boss
real life
qualities.
Bosses.
But we'll also not look good then, because that makes me sound like a pervert. Like that makes me sound really weird. Okay, a boss that doesn't lie to you about things. There you go, or yeah. Try and pretend that they. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they
yeah.
Know
like,
everything.
They don't, or yeah.
Nah, no one knows what they're doing. Just be honest about it.
Yeah, so I'm at the moment I'm in a situation at work where I don't actually work with my actual boss much at the moment. But yeah, he's sound as fuck. He's quite funny and mostly leave me alone. So,
but great combination actually.
Yeah. That's all I want. Don't want to be trained. Don't want to progress. I'm quite happy. Want to stagnate, please.
Holy fuck.
So we move on. Do anyone else have?
No, I want to know what James wants to do.
Oh, go on, yeah, yeah. Doesn't to be left alone.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
Okay, wicked. Yeah, should we move on?
Yeah.
Virtual Boy says, hey guys, love the show. Recently watched a Hank Green YouTube video where he pointed out that the burger chain Five Guys tricks manly men into ordering too much food by calling a regular sized burger the little burger and the regular sized fries or chips little fries, assuming that most men are too self-conscious to order a little burger out loud. Are you comfortable enough with your masculinity to order the little burger that will be more than enough for one person, or do you prefer to spend the extra money to save your dignity? Thanks for all the good times. So from Five Guys, I get the normal burger because that's the right size for me.
Normal being the little one.
There's not a little burger over here, is there?
I've never heard of this.
I suppose you get it with one patty instead of two, I don't know. You get like a kid's burger, but it's a double burger by default, isn't it?
Matt would never I've known Matt for a long time. You go anywhere, he wants like. He will never order the base level thing ever.
No way.
It's
no way.
Never,
the optional extras.
All the optional extras. There's burgers or whatever, and then there's one at the bottom that says Super Mega Burger or something. Yeah. You'll go, well, I'll go for Super Mega Burger then. It's too it's much like, for you, Matt.
No. When I go to McDonald's, I only ever buy like the special, you know, whatever like they're covering, you know, burger of the month, whatever. It's not called that, but you know,
burger of the month.
I would never go for like a standard.
Welcome to McDonald's. Would you like the burger of the month?
What's the burger of the month, please? It's on the board.
Well, I basically should say that because I'm like, I'll take it. Like, you know what it is? I'll take it. I don't give a fuck. I'm not having a regular quarter pounder. I'm not an idiot.
But yeah, point is, I will get the normal non little burger from Five Guys, but I will get small fries because there's fucking too many of them otherwise. So yeah. I think I passed the masculinity test, guys.
And it's about $7,000 a fry.
Well, yeah. I've been to Five Guys twice. It was nice, but it's like it's just so expensive. I wouldn't think of, oh, I'll go to Five Guys again.
Chen hates Five Guys. Really? She gets really angry about it, yeah.
Because of the little burger stuff.
Because of how expensive it is compared with like what you get. She's just like, it's rubbish. It's, she doesn't like it.
Okay.
All right. For Gourmet nice Burger yeah. Kitchen. So that was better.
Did you say Gourmet Burger price, Kitchen?
Yeah. I don't get what...
They're not going anymore, are they?
No, yes. It's not that many of them around. They're,
yeah, there's one in Kingston.
You can still find them.
I ate a Gourmet Burger Kitchen about 3 weeks ago. What about that, Matt?
Is it any good?
Actually, no. My wine leads, actually. I just don't go that way.
It's all right.
Doesn't go that bit of town.
It's still going in Leeds, actually. But again, that was when like Gourmet Burgers were like the big new thing.
Gourmet Burger Kitchen is still going.
They closed down their Canterbury branch.
Yeah. the feedback I've always sure.
No, it's all about Burger Brothers in Brighton. That's the place to go.
Still think about that occasionally.
Like patty and bun in London, that's nice.
The two napkin burger near me is really good as well. When it, James, when you had the full, what'd you have?
That was ridiculous, like that burger. I don't know. Yeah.
Never paid me for that.
That's rubbish.
You can do it now, James.
I mean, look it up. You never paid
if
me
I
for that.
Pay you, I'll check your PayPal. I don't remember that though.
Just that I remember.
Do you remember the time the Independent Podcast Awards when James ate all our chips?
Yeah, that was weird.
Look it up. Never paid me for that.
And he's like,
what was that? Oh, yeah.
Chip thief.
That was weird. Chipgate.
Yeah. You were offering me those chips.
No, we
that
weren't.
That ruined the night for me.
Weren't even asking. You were just fucking fisting them.
That's what I remember. I remember you were offering me those chips.
No, you just kept taking them.
You don't remember anything from the last part of that night.
I do remember saying, it's like James Bond.
Right, here's what happened, everyone. We went to the Independent Podcast Awards. We lost.
We
got upset about that, so we drank too much, apart from Sean.
Apart from me.
Then James spent a good 30 minutes saying, I'm so sorry, Sean. I'm so sorry. And Sean had to remind him that he's been around drunk people before and that he should stop apologising. We then went to McDonald's, ordered. James thought it was hilarious because his order number was 007, like James Bond.
Like James Bond.
We got back to the hostel or whatever we were staying in. It was so hard to explain that hotel to normal people. Like, it was the weirdest place I've ever stayed. And James had only bought a burger with him. And we said, why didn't he get a meal? I don't know. And then he just started reaching over and grabbing all our fries and shoving them in his mouth.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's what happened.
Very disappointing evening, actually, yeah. Also, that hurt more than the winning, you know, losing to a bloody...
I had to be weirdly confrontational with that woman who nearly made off with my food.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that bit.
It was just, like, I was waiting, so they put the food, but then turned out they didn't have milkshakes, so I was waiting for, like, another drink or something. And they saw the woman just walked up and picked up the bag, and obviously, initially, I was like, oh, excuse me, that's mine, and she just fucking ignored me and started walking off. So I was like, oi! And everyone looked round, and I was I've just shouted at a woman in public. Cool, good look.
Though, that was a good evening. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, it was.
But do you remember the podcast we recorded?
We don't talk about that.
Material. I tell you what, I'm way overstepping my boundaries here, but I've got all the recordings still.
Oh my god, it could be
they
a huge risk.
Still on,
yeah, we were quite upset.
I remember Matt buying all those shots and then he
just
went,
we can't put this out. We cannot put this out.
Well, we could play like roulette where you pay like 5 seconds and then we...
Do you want me to?
No, don't play anything. Don't.
No, 5 seconds will be...
Hold on. Let's just... Oh, this is going to be... Okay,
that's enough.
So anyone listening at home, don't think it's like fucking contraband. It's just not good.
it's not good. It's three drunk guys just saying, why didn't we win?
Yeah. And also me saying that.
And you were sober, Sean, so that's worse if anything.
Yeah.
I remember I did get, there is a bit where James is apologising to you for being drunk. There is in, that is in there somewhere.
Well, we'll find that then.
People are saying maybe we should set up a $250 Patreon tier just to hear that recording content. That is never
been.
You're never going to hear that. No chance, baby. Right, any other questions?
One more question from Ryan Cobain. It says, dear TCGS, quick question. Is there a game series you've reached the end with, as in you are no longer interested in? And conversely, is there a game series you would like to see make a return to the big time? Thanks for all the content.
So, Matt, how do you feel about Final Fantasy Rebirth?
It's a fucking good game now. Shut the fuck up.
Imagine Matt being like, yeah, I'm done with Final Fantasy games now, having played a bit of 7 Remake and then a bit of Rebirth.
Done. Yeah, I've seen everything I need to see.
Yeah, I've got everything I need from that series.
I think maybe Souls games. We talk about it in the week, weren't we, Sean? I like the idea of going through it again. But then Elden Ring was so good. But the problem is, every time I play a new Souls game, like a FromSoft Souls game, I start them and I get really into them and I fucking love them and they're amazing. Like, this has got nothing to do with the game quality. I just get to a point where I'm going, I haven't got it in me to carry on anymore.
Yeah,
and I stop and then that's it. I'll never go back to it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe that, man.
I think I'm going to go for Super Smash Brothers. It's one of those series I always try and get into those and always end up, I just don't like them, really, is the problem.
But I play it with the kids a lot. Really fun to play with the kids.
See, Mario Kart, I really enjoy doing that with the kids. It's brilliant.
Yeah, of course, but that's a good game. Yeah.
But Smash Brothers, I can't get on with the kids. It's not good. I don't like it.
Matt, any...
My answer might be Mario Kart,
game
actually.
Series? Sorry?
Might be Mario Kart.
What?
You might be done with Mario Kart.
I'm just thinking, I'm not sure what they can go... What can they do next? They've got a billion tracks, a billion characters. Like, what is there left to do?
When they announce Mario Kart 9 for the Switch 2, you're just going to go, nah.
maybe not. Okay. I just think, I guess with Smash as well, where's next Smash go? Like, they've got every single person and track and arena.
You could do way more with Mario Kart. You could. Mm-hmm. You could do
well. It did say there's that incredible new mechanic that was going to blow you away, or whatever it is. But
I remember that. Fucking hell, your memory is insane. Shit, Well, that was all those reports were weird, weren't they?
Yeah, well, what's going to be?
I don't know.
We'll never know. Mario Kart next.
That's it.
Oh, all right. Well, Matt, let's do the socials.
Yes. Yeah, so, do you say you're streaming on Thursday, Sean?
I don't know. Question mark. It might not be Thursday. It might be some point this week. Not sure.
Might be Thursday. Might be Saturday. Who knows? There may be a Sean stream, but there is definitely a Farley stream Friday. He's going to start with the Epics Collection handheld, so everyone can see, the adventures of Snobbly Bottom or whatever the games were he mentioned earlier.
And then Slime World or whatever it was.
Yeah. Clive in Slime World. And then once that's done, everyone's bored of that shit, then it'll be Dark Souls 3 after that. That is Friday for 9. Watch on twitch.tv/TCGSco. And if you miss it live, you can watch the VOD on YouTube. Just search TCGS on YouTube and all the VODs will be up there, including Sean's Lego, not Lego, Dune Ornithopter build from the week, and James playing some Stellar Blade if you're of that persuasion. Back to Twitch. If you have Amazon Prime and a Twitch account, connect your two accounts and you get Twitch Prime Game. You get one free sub a month. Please go to our channel and give it to us. We really appreciate everyone who does it. Those of you who don't tonight, those of you who do it through streams, or even when we're not streaming, it's hugely appreciated. So thank you to those who do that. We're on Patreon, which is patreon.com/TCGS for links to our amazing... Oh no, I've really fucked that up. Yeah, Patreon, what was that? Exclusive bonus podcast, the Sonic vs. Sonic thing we did the other day, which is well worth a watch, I think.
Yeah,
and the website is tcgs.co for links to our amazing Discord community, socials, podcasts, store, Farley t-shirts, the lot.
Thank you so much for living it. We will be back next week with more video game chit chat. Hopefully Matt plays a game, and hopefully James can pay attention for the full show. We will catch you next week. Goodbye, everyone. I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.